ഹംസപരിപ്രാചകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദകി ജയം ലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ഠ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദകി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് രാമാചാര്യശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഡ രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തദേവിക്ക് സാമ്പവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ്റ്റ് അസംബ്ലി നമോമിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീ വർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീ രൂപാനുഗവക്തിത ശ്രീ ഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനദാരിണേ രൂപയോഗ വിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധം തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബര സാംബോധേ പരാഭുജായേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോ ഗൗരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദോഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനം പ്രിയാഃ വൈഷ്ണവ സാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ നമഃ ൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യനാമേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപ സ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഭ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാസ്ത്രിയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശോപിഗോർമമന്ദ്രദേഗതിമത്സർവസ്വദാനംഭോജോരാധാമദനമോഹനൗരാധാശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രഷ്ടാലിവിസേവ്യമാനൌ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ ഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രയേസ്തുനാഃ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీ వాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధరామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే పునరవిందాయ నవక్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైల పూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణై జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధాగో బాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్ఘోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాగురవర్ధనం దేవీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణదళాజయద్రథజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృవేణమహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామాభికర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనామర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవీరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవా పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభూదిదం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేడీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారతమంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాగమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్ వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్ సాంగమదైర్ క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయందీయం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత సద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాహం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. This 15th chapter, Purushottama Yogam, what we have discussed last weekend, and you can see how the whole thinking of the rishis is so different from us. Have you noticed that? You see how they present it to us, the world. First thing is, he says here, యదా ఆఖ్యాతం సంసారవృక్షం సమూలం యత్తం వేదస వేదవిత్ వేదార్థవిత్ ఇత్యర్థః. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ హియర్ ఇన్ దీస్ ఫస్ట్ టూ వర్డ్సెస్ వీ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ఊర్ధ్వమూలం అథ శాఖం అశ్వత్థం ప్రాహు అవ్యయం ఛందాంసి యస్య వర్ణాని యస్త్వం వేదస వేదవిత్. దట్ వర్డ్స్ హి సేస్ దట్ if you understand the tree, there is nothing else to know in this world after this. It's an amazing statement from the rishis. Once you know this tree, what they are talking about, urdhvamoolam atha shakham ashwattham prahu avyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastvam vedasa vedavati. He knows everything, he doesn't have anything to know. And the rishis, very categorically, they are making a statement like this. And what's the beauty of that tree? అధశ్చూర్ధ్వం ప్రసృదాస్తస్య శాఖ గుణ ప్రవృద్ధ విషయ ప్రవాళ. ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ చాప్టర్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ వీ డిస్కస్డ్, అండ్ దట్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ ఈస్ ది ఫెర్టిలైజర్ ఫార్ దిస్ ట్రీ టు గ్రో. how this tree becomes bigger and bigger depending on the modes of nature. Once you have released from the modes of nature, that means this tree is dead. Tree and the modes of nature are like the fertilizer and the tree. Gunam pravardha vishaya pravala, Krishna is saying. If that gunam, modes of nature builds up in a person, then vishaya pravalam, that means we completely, the leaves and the branches and the twigs, everything will grow in an uncontrolled way. The tree will get so big, like the banyan tree, what Krishna is saying here. Adhascha moolani anusandhadani. You have to kill this tree at the very root itself. Krishna has only said that much. In the Yoga Vasishtam, what Vasishtha Maharshi says is, not only that you should kill the root, even the seed from which that root has come, you have to burn it, he says. You have to burn, otherwise, like the banyan tree, it will again come out. That's how powerful this root is of this tree. Then Krishna is saying, adhascha moolani anusandhadani, he says, karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. What it does is that if you allow this root, if you don't kill that root, the tree completely, karmanu bandhini, it will come out with more karma again. The karma vasana, how powerful that is in us to show that. Krishna is saying this. Adhascha moolani anusandhadani karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. That means another birth is guaranteed again to come here to get another body, a human body again. So what that is the point Krishna is in these two verses, Krishna has basically spoken this about to understand, to accept that there is a tree like that. Not a physical tree, but this is our life, what in this world is. That to come out of this material entanglement is not so easy. Why? Because karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. Karma will bind you here. Karma is our biggest bondage, isn't it? So, attachment, once it has built up inside, ragam, from attachment comes, from desires comes attachment. And attachment comes from desires. Or desires come from attachment, whichever way you take it. And desire is the cause of all the actions in this world. And action is the cause of all the bondage from that. So that is what Krishna is saying. That tree is made up of all these things. And if the tree is growing very well, you can see that you are stuck here. There's no hope of escaping from here. Vasishtha Maharshi says in the Yoga Vasishtam, he says, not only that you have to kill the tree, you have to cut the root off. You know, big trees, they've got one big root which goes on, and then there will be some branches going from that. That big root goes deep down and that has come out from the seed. He says you have to find that seed where it came from and you have to burn that seed so that it will not take birth again. To such an extent, forcefully they express this point, very important point. Tasya eva samsara vrikshasya apara avaya kalpana uchyate adaschordam prasridastasya shakha guna pravrdha vishaya pravalam adascha moolani anusandhadani karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. Then so here then these three modes of material nature, what they do is, due to that this tree becomes very fat. The tree gets stronger and stronger. And because these five senses of the Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham, the sound, smell, touch, taste and form. So, and it keeps on coming out in different ways through different senses, like the tree grows, isn't it? From all sides it grows. Similarly, from our, this tree, from body, from different senses demands different things. And our tree grows bigger and bigger. And samsara vaksham, this tree of material existence, never die. It will never die. So, and samsara vrikshasya parama moolam upadanam karanam purvam uktam adha idanim karma bhala janita ragadveshadi vasana moolani iva dharma adharma pravrti karanani avandara bhavini tani adhachaha devadi apekshaya moolani anusandadani anupravishtani karmanu bandhini karmam dharmam adharma lakshanam anubandha paschad bhavi yesham ulbhudim anu ulbhavadi ഇതി താനി കർമാനുബന്ധേനി മനുഷ്യലോകേ വിശേഷത അത്ര ഹി മനുഷ്യാണാം കർമാധികാര പ്രസിദ്ധ. സോ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് രാഗദ്വേഷം ഇൻസൈഡ് അറ്റാച്ച്മെൻ്റ് ആൻഡ് അവേർഷൻ ഓർ രാഗം അറ്റാച്ച്മെൻ്റ് ഈസ് രാഗം ആൻഡ് ഹെയ്റ്റ് ഈസ് ദ്വേഷം attachment and hate because and those vasanas inside therefore our karmam will be some of them will be dharmam dharmikam in other words based on religious principles some of them will be based on irreligious principles depending on the raga dvesham inside that's what decides that if we have attachment for something then we will some of our activities will be moral And if we have dvesham, hate towards things, some of them can be against religious principles. So, and there those karmam and their results will grow in a big way. So, so important thing here is, why it is said that is, only in the human body karmam works. The law of karmam exists only in the human species. Yadu I am varnita samsara vraksham. But this samsara vriksham krishna has spoken in these two verses he is saying also that the samsara vriksham existence that existence to recognize itself is a big thing that such a tree exists most of us do not recognize anything unless we see some tree grows tree we can't understand what a tree krishna is talking about isn't it but we saw last time that what this tree does is that it binds us this tree that karmanubandhini manushya loge krishna is saying that it binds us through karma it binds us because these three modes satugunam rajogunam tamogunam along with that we have this three karma also isn't it prarabdham ആഗമം സഞ്ചിതം സോ ത്രൂ ദീസ് ത്രീ കർമ്മം പ്രാരബ്ധകർമ്മം ആഗമകർമ്മം സഞ്ചിതകർമ്മം ത്രൂ ദീസ് കർമ്മം ഇറ്റ് ബൈൻഡ്സ് അസ് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് വി ആർ ബൗണ്ട് ബൈ ദീസ് ത്രീ റൈറ്റ് നൗ വി ഹാവ് പ്രാരബ്ധം വാട്ട് വി ആർ ഗോയിങ് ത്രൂ ദർ ഈസ് എനഫ് സ്റ്റോക്ക് ഇൻ സൈഡ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് സഞ്ചിതം സഞ്ചിതം മീൻസ് സഞ്ജി ഈസ് ബാഗ് ദ ബാഗ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സ്റ്റോക്ക്ഡ് ദെയർ പ്ലെന്റി ഓഫ് തിങ്സ് സഞ്ചിതം ആൻഡ് ദെൻ through this prarabdha shariram through this body we are engaged in activity and creating more karma for future which is called agamam so agamam sanchitam prarabdham three kinds of karma this is called samsaram material existence so what is this samsaram material existence basically is the mind itself is this material existence So, you cannot inquire about material existence outside. You have to inquire it inside. So, mind itself is the major part of this tree is the mind. Major part of this huge banyan tree, what Krishna has spoken, is the mind. You can imagine, when did this mind come up? From where did that come up? It gives you trouble in the vacant state, isn't it? In the Jagrat, in the vacant state, it gives you trouble. In the dream state, sometimes it gives you trouble, sometimes not. And so in the vacant state and the dream state, when you have slept very well, where has he grown? Where has he gone? You see, in the dream state and the vacant state, it gives you trouble and sometimes some happiness also. But when you go into deep sleep state, where has the mind gone? Where has he? Somewhere it has gone and dissolved itself, isn't it? That's what happens in the deep sleep state. So, morning when you woke up, he's back again. And that in the Shastram, they call it as Vijrambhanam. That's the word they use. Vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means you don't know from where it has popped up. It has popped up altogether. So, it pops up and then it starts expanding whole day. It starts expanding whole day. So, if it opens up a little bit, half woken up or half opened, that's called the dream state when when it is fully opened up it's called the vacant state when it's half open that's why most of us are in half in that state is not half dream and half vacant state that's this half open it is this mind when it's half open you are half in the dream state and half in the waking state. When it's fully open, you are fully woken up. You are fully woken up in the waking state. Similarly, when it contracts, when it shrinks, again it is half shrunk, you are in the dream state, half, and half in the waking state. And when it's fully shrunk, then you go into deep sleep. You see, when it opens up half, you are in the dream state and half in the waking state. When it fully opens, you are in the fully waking state. That means all the action going on all the time at that time. Then when it shrinks half, you are half into the sleep and half in the dream. When it shrinks. And then when it fully closes it down, then you go into deep sleep. So this is the process of the mind's appearance and disappearance of the mind. This is called mind, sangojam and vikasam. Sangojam means coming down and vikasam means expanding that, isn't it? So where did this come from, this mind? It has a root of its own where it popped up. And it's a place where it comes out from. And what is that place where it comes from? It comes from Atma, from the soul, that Hrit. That's the same place where Atma is there. It's the same place where mind also comes out. So it has come from Krishna. Mind has also come from Krishna. And except from Krishna, where else can it come? It cannot come from anywhere else, isn't it? It's not like a growth in the body. It is something you can see by the very nature of it, the mind. It is something extraordinary. It's not like a normal bodily growth. It's something that a very extraordinary thing which continuously appears and disappears in us all the time during our waking state and the dream state, and it disappears when we are dissolved. That is why this beauty of the mind is that mind has a place, and Shastram is very categorically saying to us that the place where it takes birth is Krishna. It's from Krishna the mind comes, Ishvara, Antaryami, whichever way you call that. Krishna inside is called Antaryami. From him this mind is born. So, so the place where it originates from is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, eternal, very pure, extremely pure, and fully liberated state and fully conscious. That's the Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is our Swarupam. Swarupam means our real identity. And it is from there this mind has born. Mind was born from there. So the place where mind takes birth is from us, from that our pure identity, from self. So that mind which takes from birth from that Swarupam, that is what is this tree's main trunk. The trunk of the tree is that mind. In other words, from that, based on the mind, all the branches, all the, like from the trunk, the many, many branches comes, the twigs, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits, everything is coming from this trunk, You can see this also, all what you have studied in the school, college, everything, where is it? It's all in the mind. It's all in the mind. For example, we may say that memory, we may call it, but what is memory at the end? Memory is also part of this mind, So suppose a person who has studied Vedam very well, Chandamsi Yasya Parnani, Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Where is all this Vedam? Where is the Vedam, what he has studied? Everything is in his mind. How do you know? There is a story about this in one of the Upanishads. What it says is, one Acharya taught his disciple whole Vedam. And then, after he has studied everything, all the Vedas, and then he told him, for 15 days, don't eat anything. He told him like this. He said, don't eat anything. Only drink water, he said. So, he drank only water for 15 days. On the 15th day, he says to him, chant the hymns from the Rigvedam, he said. Rigvedam Vada, he says. Rigvedam Vada. He couldn't remember anything. Then he told him, okay, chant Yajurvedam then. He couldn't chant. Nothing was coming out. And Samavedam, nothing happened. Nothing could come out. Then he tells him, okay, have some food, he says. So he took some food. As soon as he took the food, it started coming out from him. All the Vedic That doesn't mean that if you eat plenty of prasadam, you're going to go to heaven. That's not how it works. That's not, there's no connection like that. What it is that mind is coming from the food to show that relationship. That as soon as he ate, took some food, he was able to remember everything. If you completely shut it down, then everything will be lost. You won't get able to remember anything. You won't be able to remember anything. In order that the mind has to start working, you can see there, all these things are there. If only if the mind start working, all these things will work. Otherwise, it will not work. And if the mind completely shuts down, everything shuts down. Everything shuts down. So all the Shastram, Vedam, and our desires, our attachment, hate, ragam, dvesham, all these things is in the mind. Is in the mind. It is not in the Atma. We call it in different names like brain and intelligence and memory and all. These are the things what we are given. Vastu is the same. Vastu is the same. That is that force that's come from the soul, which carry everything with it. It has nothing to do with the self inside, with the Atma inside. That's the point. So, all our agadvesham, attachment and desire, and all kind of attachment and aversion and hate and desires and all our information, what we have learned, collected from various sources, everything is in this thing called mind. And this mind is the main part of this tree, and jagat, as Krishna calls it as the jagat, samsaram. So, that is why it's mentioned that you can see in the Ishavanishad also, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat. That jagat is this. Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Jagat, in that word, jagat, the actual definition of that is kartrutva bhoktrutva ryagadvesha rupam. This is what it is called. Kartrutvam bhoktrutvam ragam, dvesham. If you take these four things, that is the samsara, material existence. So jagat. Jagat is world, isn't it? So world is nothing but these four things. If you put them together, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, raga, dvesham, if you combine them together. Jagat. And it is like this. Attachment and aversion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer. Think about this. Is there anything else outside this in this world? If you look at it, you can see there's nothing outside this. I am the doer, I'm the enjoyer. And whatever I'm doing, there is ragam or dvesham. That's all. Finished. There itself. So you can see this in relation, personal relationship with each other also. What we have got is ragadvesham. Isn't it? What we have is ragadvesham. So suppose I am sitting here and suppose I liked someone particularly, then that will remain in my mind when I walk out from here. It will go with me, in me, isn't it? Or their form will be in me, and that is called ragam. That's called ragam. Suppose I hate someone here and their form also will keep coming back to me in my mind, and that is called a dvesham. So you can see between two forms, name and form, this can happen, ragadvesham can develop. So in this way, we are moving in this world with ragam and dvesham and ragam and dvesham. And when you are moving in this world, you will come into contact with different people and different objects also. Is it not? Different objects also. And through that, a samskaram builds up inside. Samskaram builds up inside. And this samskaram that we are keeping it under control inside, not allowing it to come out. So this is called ragadvesham. Now, as far as you can see one thing, ragadvesham depends on others. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam depends on me. Ragadvesham depends on others. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam depends on me. Isn't it? Kartrutva bhoktrutvam is always in me, not in the others. It is inside me. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That's always in me. Whereas, attachment and aversion is outside. source is outside, where it comes from. So, for example, after the class, if you tell me that it was nice, class was good, then I feel a happiness inside. I have pleasant feeling, isn't it? Suppose you tell me that it was hopeless, everything what you said, then I will think, what have I said wrong? You'll think like that. Mind gets absorbed in that. That is kartrutva boktrutva, isn't it? It is from kartrutva boktrutva that comes, that reactions. So if you say it was good, I feeling happy inside. Rasa aswadanam it is called, enjoying that. Or somebody said it was a very nice class. So what remains in me ultimately is kartrutva boktrutva. What remains in me is kartrutva boktrutva. Kartrutva boktrutva means I'm the doer and I'm the enjoyer. That is always inside me. Not outside. It's always inside me. Whereas ragadvesham is varies from person to person, and although it comes in me, but it's caused by the object outside. Objects outside. So ragadvesham is due to interaction with the others. Interaction with the others. So this ragadvesham is the one which creates this world to grow. Jagat to grow. Jagat to grow. So, so this tree, what Krishna is talking about, samsara vraksham, the major portion of that is this mind. Major portion of that is this mind. And at least for the moment, if we understand in our daily life what goes on, that is sufficient. And because the tree's root and other things, of course, this prapancha means this creation. What is the most important part of that is this mind. Mind is the most important part in this creation. Because it's through the mind we are contacting the world. It is through the mind all our ragadvesham builds up. It's through the mind this kartrutva boktrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, builds up in me. It's through the mind this attachment aversion builds up with the world. So that is why Krishna is saying that this mind is the main power in this whole tree, or the main trunk, you can say, around whom this whole material existence is created. Material existence is created. So, and in order that the mind to grow, what's the main reason behind that? It is that root at the bottom. You cannot say root. Like Vasishtha Maharshi says there, he says that with the, or the so the seed or is Brahmam. Is Brahmam. From Brahmam it has come, isn't it? From Andaryami it has come. It has come. So Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra this verse, Rama, Swalpa Vicharvayam, the Koham Syam iti Rupakaha, Chitta Drumasya Vijasya, Dahani Dahanasmradaha. This is a Yoga Vasishtham verse. Where Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, Rama, Lord Ramachandra addressing Rama, Swalpa Vicharoyam, by absorbing in the inquiry of the truth about the self, Koham Syam iti Rupaha, you must find out who is this aham inside, who this is. Chitta Drumaja Bijasya Dahani Dahanasmradaha. In other words, that this tree whose seed, this here calls chittam. Instead of the mind, it calls chittam here. Mind, chittam, they are all one thing only. But chitta druma vijasya. So this chittam is the trunk. Instead of the mind, it is said chittam. The chittam is that trunk. And that fire that is required to burn this tree, that is knowledge. Burn this tree is called knowledge. That knowledge. And he says, Dahane, Bijasya Dahane Dahanasmradaha. You have to burn the seed itself. You have to burn the seed itself, otherwise it will again come out. Again it will come out. So what point, important point he's making here is, it's not good enough if you cut the tree. It's not good enough if you cut the tree. because from the seed the tree has come, isn't it? So this tree, which is Krishna is saying here, that vasanas are inside in the mind. We have the vasanas. If there is no vasanas inside, then there will be no ragadvesham. If there is no vasanas, vasanas means impressions inside, if it's not there, this attachment and aversion won't happen in us. Attachment aversion is happening, why? Because of the impressions inside, what we have got. So, what will happen if it's not there? If you ask that question, when we say this, it may appear as though, how can you live in this world without any impressions inside us about, we all have our own opinion, isn't it, about everything. That itself is the problem. We have got this opinion about everything. Because, so if you take this ragadvesham from inside, what will be left behind? Will you not see any of these things, impressions? So suppose the ragadvesham has, attachment and aversion has gone from inside, and also this, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that's also gone from inside. Then what will happen? That is the question. What will be us when these four things are gone from inside? What means, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer has gone. Attachment, aversion has gone. Completely it has gone. What will be our situation? This is the answer. In the Mahabharatam, you will see that if you look into Bhishma, instructs this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, the thousand names of Vishnu. In that thousand names of Vishnu, the first word itself is the answer for this. He says here, Vishwam Vishnuhu. Vishwam means this creation is Vishnu. Today we are not feeling that Vishwam is Vishnu. Isn't it? Today we are feeling, why do we feel all these existence of so many objects, so many personalities? Because of ragadvesham. Suppose I have no ragadvesham inside, I have no attachment aversion inside, all these personalities don't exist anymore. What exists is only Vishnu. Vishwam Vishnuhu. That thousand names of Vishnu, if you read, it's a famous prayer that is. Bhishma instructs this to Yudhishthira. He says to Yudhishthira, Vishyam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhudabhavya Bhaval Prabhu. That is how it begins. Vishyam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhudabhavya Bhaval Prabhu. So there it says, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Vishwasme Namaha. First obeisances to this creation, which is Vishnu. Vishnu means, what does the word Vishnu means? Vishnu means one who is spread everywhere. Vyavana Shilanaha Vishnu. One who is present everywhere is Vishnu. And only Vishnu is present everywhere, nothing else. What we have got now is Ragadvesham, Kartrutva Bhoktrutva. Because those things are there inside, we don't see Vishnu. Instead, we see, according to Ragadvesham, personalities here, we see their karmam, we see the name and form. Namarubam is because of this. Why we see Namarubam? We can't see anything else. Every time you look at a person, we start looking at him as, oh, he's a young man or an old man or a woman, or Indian or American or European or whatever it is. Some impression straight away comes in. Why does that come? Because of the ragadvesham inside. Otherwise it should not happen. Is it not? We get immediately other identities comes along with that about people. Is it not in us? So you can see how much we have to clean up inside. It's a lot to go from inside. Isn't it? Ragadvesham has to go completely. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva has to go completely. If all these four has gone, world has gone. So Jagat means it's only four things. If these four things have gone, the world is gone from inside. So that is why Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhudabhavya Bhaval Prabhu. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, have you noticed this? When Sugabrahmarshi spoke Bhagavatam, as soon as he sat down, what did he say first thing to Parikshit? he said to Parikshit that Padalamedasyahi Padamoolam is talking about Vishnu and about his body. When you start listening to Bhagavatam in the second canto, first chapter, it is most of the people don't touch that. They go out of it. They don't understand what is he talking about. Because we cannot see Krishna. Because when he starts speaking, Shukla Brahmarshi is saying, first thing he establishes this principle that in this world there is nothing here except Vishnu. Only Vishnu is here. All other things is later on. Jarasandha, Kamsa, Sudama and all comes later. Originally there is only Vishnu here. Only Vishnu here. That is, so if you understand this principle, you will understand the first chapter. The first chapter is based on this understanding that there is only Krishna here. Nothing else exists here. That is why first thing he describes, this is the first impression he gives you when Parikshit is asking, Parikshit has asked this question. If you look into the second kind of first chapter, there is Rajovaja, there is about 8-10 questions. In that question, when he started answering them, the answer is like this, straight away about this creation, saying that it's all Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Nothing but Vishnu here. Only Krishna is here. Vishnu means Krishna. Only Vishnu exists, nothing else exists. After that, he starts talking about the other things. So that's why you will see the Purusha Suktam prayers, everything is in that chapter, in the beginning itself, in the second chapter, first chapter itself. So, only if you understand this principle, you will understand that first chapter. Otherwise, that first chapter, you can read it, but you won't get what is he saying? You will start thinking like this. We can look at it sometime. But whatever you see is Krishna. Nothing else exists here except Krishna. If that understanding has come, that first chapter you will understand. Otherwise not. So here, before it becomes Vishnu, we cannot see it. First of all, we have to see everything as Vishnu. Now, in order to see that Vishnu, seeing it as Vishnu, to us today, we are not seeing it as Vishnu. What do we see? We see like the tree Krishna has spoken. The tree upside down tree. So that is what that verse, Urdhamulam Atha Shakha, Ashwatham Prahu Avyayam, Chandamsi Yastha Parnani Yastham Vedasa Vedavil, Adascha Murdham Vishaya Pravala, Adascha Urdham Prasridas Tasya Shakha, Gunapravardha Vishaya Pravala, Adascha Mulan Anisandadani Karmani Bandhini Manushaloge. Today we are seeing the world as these two verses are saying. This is how it is for us today. But when the tree is killed and cut off and the root is burned, then everything is Vishnu. Only Vishnu will be there. Nothing else will be there. So today you can only, in order to see this tree, we can't see it directly unless you move away from the tree and look at the tree. So, because if you are inside the tree, then you won't know that you are in the tree. But first you have to come out of the tree and start looking at the tree. So, then only you will know that it is a tree like this and the tree has grown very big. It has got so many branches and so many leaves and fruits and flowers on that. And while sitting in this tree, you also experience all the happiness and distress of that tree. Happiness and distress of the tree as well. And you will realize that, then you realize it, that you are that bird who is sitting on that tree and enjoying the happiness, the fruits, the good fruits and the bad fruits, both eating this. Upanishad spoke that, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, that tree is spoken like this. It is in this tree those birds are sitting. What was spoken in the Upanishad? Dvasuparna, Saija, Sakaya. These are all the very, very, very fundamentals of Vedic philosophy. These things. This tree, these birds. It is in the Upanishads. It is in the Bhagavad Gita. It is in the Mahabharatam. It is in the Vedam also. It is in the Vedam. Both the tree as well as the bird. So that bird, what only if you are like a bird, if you stay out of the tree and look at the tree, only then you can see that bird existing there, enjoying the fruits of the tree. So as long as you are sitting on the tree, which means in the dream state, which you are in the dream state, you are seeing the dream. You are seeing the dream. You know what I'm saying, isn't it? That if you are in the tree, then you won't know what the tree is. You are in that dream of enjoying the fruits or enjoying the misery. Enjoying the happiness or enjoying the misery. Only if you come out of the tree and look at the tree, you will see that there is this tree existing. And in that tree, the thing called mind, which is the main stem or the trunk of the tree, and so many branches of that, which comes from the mind, various branches and twigs and flowers and fruits and leaves, everything. And you can also see the bird that is sitting there, and the bird enjoying the happiness and the distress of that sitting outside that tree. But to know that, you just have to come out of the tree and observe, look at the tree. Only then you will know that. So, when you are in the tree, you are in the dream state. You are in the dream state. That time, you will see that you are, as you are walking in a deep forest, in other words, you are going through, because that is material existence, always fear, isn't it? While walking through a deep forest, how you experience that? And similarly, as though you are listening to the roaring of the lions and so many other things. These are all in a poetical way spoken about that. And you are also struggling that you haven't got any food to eat. And in this way, you are dreaming in the night. For example, you can see here, see, you're sleeping sometimes in a nice air-conditioned room, and the temperature is the right temperature, you're sleeping very well. And at that time, you get a dream like this, that you're sleeping in the air-conditioned room, but you are dreaming that you are in a deep forest where you are wandering around, and you had a big meal when you went to bed, before you slept, you had a big feast. But in the dream, you are starving. Imagine that. You are starving in the dream and you are in the deep forest. But you are sleeping in an AC room comfortably. So imagine that situation. So when will you come out? When will you get out of the problem? But you are suffering everything in that dream because you think that you are in a forest and you are hearing the sound of wild animals and you are very frightened altogether, and then also you are starving, although you had eaten a meal. You are starving in the dream. So the only way you can come out of that is not by giving you food. You already had a big meal, but that won't solve the problem. The only thing is somebody has to come and wake you up from that dream and tell you that it is a dream state. It is a completely false thing. And once you have woken up, then you come out of the problem. Is it not? So if you say these things, you can say that, well, you can say all these things, Vedantam, but when I was suffering, nobody could help me. I was suffering, isn't it? So so long as you are in that dream state, if you tell him, he won't listen. He won't understand. Because he is in the dream state. That dream state is the problem. Because you are in the dream state, you have to suffer. No matter, you are in the AC room, you have been at a good feast. In spite of that, if you are meant to suffer in that dream state, you will suffer. Till you come out of... The only solution to the problem is, you have to be woken up from the dream. Otherwise, there is no escape from that. So, so only if you are thrown up, woken up from that dream, you will wake up. Is it not? Only you will, if you are woken up, you will come out of the problem, of the fear, of the anxiety, what you had. You will not be able to come out unless you are woken up. Is it not? That is the power of that dream. Then, only when you woken up, then you recognize that it was only a dream. then you know that it was a dream, it was false. And and then afterwards, after he has woken up, if you tell him what you have experienced yesterday, last night in the sleep, was real, you won't accept that. See how our nature is. Once you've woken up and come out, then if I tell you that, oh, you had gone through a very hard time in the sleep, in the dream. Sometimes people make noises, isn't it, in the dream. They make sounds out of fear, or sometimes people laugh in the dream. Sometimes people cry in the dream. All comes out because it's all working inside. That mind is working inside. So, suppose I tell you after you've woken up, it was all real. You won't accept that, isn't it? Suppose if you've accepted what I'm saying, then it'll be a confusion for you. Is it not? Suppose you've gone woken up in from the dream, and if I have told you that it really happened last night, you were in the deep forest, and then it is a confusion stage that is. But you know that most of the people will say, yes, it was only a dream. You'll be able to reject it in that way. So, because if you accept that as a reality, then there will be confusion. Is it not? So, suppose I tell you that, look, you have borrowed from me £1,000 last night in the dream. Give it back to me. So what will happen? Suppose it becomes a reality, what will happen? Imagine that way. Suppose this dream thing is a reality, then what will happen? We won't be able to function in this world. We can only do all this vyavaharam in the waking state only. In the once you go into the dream state, all your vyavaharam world is also gone. Is it not? Because there what happens is another world. In the activities of the mind it is happening. So if you start asking all this money back, what you have given me in the dream state, and it will be a big problem then, isn't it? So, so when you have woken up, the mind has switched off from one position to another position. That's what the mind has done. All what has happened is, the mind, you see, just like you have seen sometimes these knobs, it changes on, off, switch, isn't it? When you turn 1, 2, 3, 4 positions in the car, when you change the heating system, similarly it is changing its position, that's all. So in one position, one experience, another position, another experience. So at that time you can understand that what you have really experienced in the dream state is a experience of the mind only. Only of the mind. But when you are seeing that with the mind, through the mind, you won't get any idea whether it is true or not. Whether it's true or not. You can see often people cry in the sleep because of the disturbances they had in the mind. They cry, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, in these next two verses, are really the gem of Bhagavad Gita. If you understand these next two verses, you will start thinking really about this modern science and the foolishness of the modern science. These rishis, how deeply they must have gone to bring out with this understanding. Look at that, next two verses. And Krishna is saying here, just like you were in the dream, when you were in the dream, you won't understand anything what goes on in the awakened state. You are suffering in the dream state, are you not? You are suffering. Only when you have been woken up, the mind changes everything. It switches from one position to another and you are in a completely different world. And then you reject the mind and the world and the dream. Afterwards, after you have woken up, had this happened, that the dream state also as a reality like the awakened state, how complicated it would be. That's the point, Krishna. Krishna is saying to us that, see, when you are watching that experience in the dream state, you don't understand its real nature. We don't understand when you are in the dream state, do you? You don't know what is going on. All you know is you are suffering or you are enjoying, mostly suffering through the mind. That's what that dream state is. Krishna is saying here that since you don't get an idea what you are going through in that dream state, you don't know anything what is going on then, what you are experiencing through the mind. So when you are in it, you have to go through it. That's the rule. When you are in it, you have to go through it. When you are in that dream state, you have to go through it. Krishna is saying here this samsara vriksham is like that. Look at the next verse. See what Krishna says. Next two verses is all about that. Narubamasyeha tatobalabhyade Nandona chadirna cha sampradishta Ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam Asanga shastrena dridena chitva Narubamasyeha tatobalabhyade Nandona chadir naja sampradishta Ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam Asanga shastrena dridena chitva Tadapadam dat parimargidavyam Yasmin gadana nivartandi bhuyaha Tameva chadyam purusham prabadye Yada pravrti prasrida purani Tada padam dat parimargidavyam Yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha Tameva chadyam purusham prabadye Yada pravrti prasrida purani So, those two important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Narubamasyeha tatobalabhyade nandona chadirna cha sampratishta Ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridena chitva Tadappadam dat parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha Tameva chadyam purusham prabadye yata pravrti prasrita purani So, it is two wonderful verses and they are also like mantra. They are like mantra, like rishis, two mantras they have created out of that. So, as long as you are on the tree, which is this tree what Krishna has spoken before, if you are on the tree, you will not know the size of the tree. This is the first thing. Tadaparam dat paramargidavyam. Krishna is saying, as long as you are sitting on that tree, you won't know the size of the tree. So first thing is, you have to come out of the tree. Come out of the tree. Samsaram sarva tulyobhi ragadveshadi sankulaha. Sogale satyavad bhadi prabodhe asatyavad bhaved. Yoga Vasishtha says, Samsara swapna tulyohi ragadveshadi sankulaha. Sogale satyavad bhadi prabhode asatyavad bhaved. What saying, Vasishtha is saying here, this samsaram or material existence is like this. When you are here, it appears as though it is true, like you are in the dream. When we are living in this world, we think life is real. Is it not? Just like in the dream. When you are in the dream, you felt that it is dream is you are experiencing it. Similarly, we are experiencing it now, the life. So we think that life is real, isn't it? And earlier Krishna has spoken as a tree with the roots upwards and the branches downwards, isn't it? So what it means is, Krishna says here, that whose mind is in the world, Bahirmukham. Bahirmukham means who has gone out looking into the world. We are all attracted by the world, are we not? In one way or the other. Our attraction is towards the world. Attraction is not inward. It's always outward. What's there? What's here? What's going on there? Always trying to find out what's going on. And that exactly is happening to science also, isn't it? What's happening in Mars? What's happening in Saturn? And if we get to Mars, they'll say, what's happening on the other side of the Mars? Another planet they will look for. This way it keeps on going out, 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 all the time out. It's called Bahirmukhatvam. So such a person, where does it come from? Where is it coming from? Because that thought has no beginning and that thought has no end either. If you go in that route, you don't know where it has started, do you? this thought, when it has started, where it has started from. And you won't know where it's going to end either. It will never be, because even if we have found everything, everything in this creation, creation means what is perceivable for us at the moment. That means these planets around the Earth, Mercury, Mars, which are closer ones. Scientists say some of them are too far at the moment for us. They are booking for Mars and all now. People are booking for Mars to go. Some people saying that there is some water, trace of water in the Mars, so they will go there. So you can see all these reports coming all the time. So they have concluded that life is there to some extent in a Mars, or some experiments they are still conducting. You remember they sent something there to send us back message from there about Mars. So today our inquiry is only up to Mars, because other places we still think we can't go. This is where we are now, isn't it? That's where we are. Scientists are in that state. What they are saying to us, Moon we can go, Mars we can go. Probably later on they may make it to Mars. Moon they had been, as they are saying. Whatever it may be. But the nature of that mind, you look at it, it wants to go out looking for. That is the important thing. The nature of that mind is everything is outside, not inside. So Krishna is saying here that if you go in that direction, that research will never come to an end. Because creation is too big. Creation is too big. You will keep on doing research. Where did this creation, whole creation, come from? That's what they are trying to find out. Is it not? They are trying to find out that. So that is why this finding, trying to find out this basic particle and all that. You remember? Collider, Hadron Collider or something they call it, isn't it? In Switzerland they were doing all these kind of things. So for which they say they can't find the basic particle, God particle, whatever they call it, isn't it? So they're trying to find out from some particle it has come out. This is their conclusion. That is how they are thinking about it, isn't it? And let us inquire about that particle, where that particle is, where that has come from. It's not much different than the science who is going to the Mars and the Moon and other places. That is in two different ways they are inquiring, but both are outside. Inquiry is outside. One is thinking that there is some particle outside from which you can find out the truth, where it is all coming from. Another person is saying that let us go and explore everywhere. You will get to some clue one day about it, where it's coming from. So, and if you keep doing this, in this process, finally one person may find some truth from that. But again, it will be only for him. It will be revealed to him, that person. And each one of us have to find out ultimately. Suppose somebody goes, people have gone to Moon, they have come back and told us, they brought something back and told us this is like, but still we haven't got a clue what it's like. We still know only this Earth and some places in this world, isn't it? So in order to know the Moon, we got to go there to know what is really Moon like, what to talk about Mars later on. So therefore, what it is, each one of us have to find out, go there and to find out what is happening. So that in the same way that like in the science that they have this discovery that Earth is a globe, like a round thing. And One person found out that. And others accepted that. But it is difficult to do that with all the other planets. Because the Earth planet, we have still have the possibility of going around, coming back around the world, ticket if you buy and go and come back, fly all around and come back, isn't it? But that hasn't happened to other planets yet. So others have accepted this. That won't work in this case, because individually, each one of us have to go and find this out. Upanishad says like this, that the way to find out is not this. This is the first statement from the Upanishads. Don't go in these two directions, looking for the particle or looking for the planet elsewhere. So Upanishad's answer is, this truth what you are looking for, only if you find out this truth, you will be satisfied. Otherwise, you will never be satisfied. This is the Upanishad's conclusion. Upanishads are pointing out, the Rishis are saying to us, that even if you find the God particle, even if you go to the Mars or the Moon, your inquiry won't finish there. Your inquiry won't finish there. Just like you can see this also, that at one point scientists said that they had found out the molecules and then the elements and then the atoms and everything. And then they have gone even a little bit more, protons, electrons, neutrons and all other things came out. But still, now they are saying that behind that there is something more subtle, and that's what this God particle they are talking about, which they want to separate. But after that, what will happen? How do you know that that's the end? So, knowing very well, Rishi's point to us is, you have to find something where your inquiry must come to an end. If your inquiry is not coming to an end, that means your inquiry is not complete. That means after finding that thing, you will not ask again from where this has come from. That way, the answer you have to get. And that you won't get it from the inquiry outside. This is the Rishi's point. So, in the Kathopanishad, if you look how this has been put it, he says there, Tam atmasthande anupashyandi dhiraha esham shandi shashwati netat esham. In other words, if you Tam atmasthande, only if you stop this outside inquiry, only if you go inward, atmasthande anupashyandi dhiraha, that is where you will find that there is an end to this journey, nowhere else. This is what Rishis have found out. Rishis are telling us, Tam atmasthande anupashyandi dhiraha. Dhira, a person who is really sober, who has really inquiring the truth, his inquiry will finish only if he inquires Atma, inquiry about the Self. Tam Atmastam. Atmastam means situated in the Self. Only when you are situated in the Self, this inquiry will come to a dead stop. Otherwise, it will not. Rishis have got logic in everything. It's not that they are making a statement. First thing, their own experience, because they have gone through this process. Otherwise, Rishis could have also done the same thing what we are doing today. They never gave too much importance to it. Outside inquiry, they didn't give any importance to it because they knew this is a Maya's way of tricking us. Maya will keep tricking us. You will go find out Moon, tomorrow Mars, then they will say, what is the next one? And where will it end? Rishi is asking. Where will this end? It will not come to an end. It will keep on going. And in that process, your life is lost. You're gone. Therefore, Kathopanishad says, Tam Atmasthande Anupashyandi Dhiraha. Atmastam. Atmastam means to be, go back to Atmam, to the soul, Atma. That is where it will end. Nowhere else. Esham Shandi. Shashwadim Etat Esham. You will find that Shandi means this. Shandi means this question not coming up again from inside. What next? What next? Complete stop to that question. This is it. This is it. That is Shandi. This is the end of it. No more further questioning from inside. Because if you keep questions coming back again, that means again you will start the whole business again. So this inquiry in us cannot come to a stop unless you go back to the soul. It's not possible otherwise. This is the Kathopanishad verse is saying. But we have to find out that, isn't it? That's a big journey. And we have to start ourselves. There's nobody else can do that. So this, remember, mentioned before also, Bahiranga Parikshana. Bahiranga Parikshana means that doing research. Modern world glorifies research, isn't it? If you have done some research on something, you will get a PhD. But if you have done inquiry about the Self, you won't get a PhD. You won't get a PhD there. Because they don't know anything about it. The ones who are giving this PhD, they also don't know anything about it. What they'll give you PhD is if you go out and do something in the world. Bahiranga Parikshanam it's called. So, this Bahiranga Parikshanam, this inquiry and this experiment, research and all this, it's going on from time immemorial for a long period of time. Continuously it's happening. All the time, its inquiry is going on. inquiries going on. You will be surprised all kinds of inquiries what's going on in this world. We don't give enough attention to it because we don't understand it, what they are doing, many things. What they are doing, we don't even understand. You know that in this creation, in the universe, there's a thing called a black hole. Have you heard about that? Mm-hmm. This black hole. Apparently what they say is that in the many, many stars and everything disappears in this black hole. Disappears in the black hole. There was one devotee who was doing post-doctorate research in Manchester in this. She did it for 10 or 12 years. Finally, she got fed up and gave up it and started chanting. Ultimately, what can you do? This is the way the mind takes you. And so many universities are doing all these kind of things. What they are doing, this is all called in that category, Bahiranga Parikshana. So, what this black hole does, this devotee was saying, what it does is that it sucks all the energy from the planets, and the whole planet disappears in that black hole. Apparently, it exists somewhere in the sky. And they have some kind of photos of that. If you look into the astronomical magazines, they show all these things. But that hasn't answered the question, where did this creation come from? It hasn't happened. And then they said, there is one way of talking about it. They couldn't answer with the black hole. Then they talked about this Big Bang. Is it not? Big Bang. They said there's a Big Bang. And then the rishis are asking us, where did the Big Bang happen? No answer. Okay, Big Bang, we'll accept if you say this. The Big Bang was the origin of the creation. They say for the Big Bang it has happened. But in order the bang to happen, there must be some place, isn't it? Space should be there. So where was this? Did it happen in London or New York or Paris or Delhi or where? Where did this happen, Big Bang? There's no answer. That finishes that inquiry. So it is like this. When we talk about this, this is what Krishna is saying this in this verse. Krishna is saying to us, all your so-called research and imagination won't answer the question. Question is something different. The very nature, Krishna is saying here, that this Big Bang also, from the Big Bang, this creation has come, we say. Then the question is, where did this Big Bang happen? How will you answer? How will you answer that question? You won't get an answer for that. Is it not? You can't answer that question because there time and space is involved. And you have no knowledge of time and space. Because you cannot answer this question. You can say Big Bang. It is just an imagination or a speculation, that is. Nothing more than that. But if you bring, naturally, you have a right to ask this question. When did the Big Bang happen? Where did this happen? Time and space. No answer to that. So that means your Big Bang theory is finished there. That is what Krishna is saying. Na rupam asyeha tadobha labhyate. That you will not be able to understand this samsaram through your research work. You cannot know it. Krishna is saying in the first line itself, na rupam asyeha tadobha labhyate. That's what it is. The point Krishna is making. Why? Nando na chadye na jasam pratishtaha. Three things he is saying. Na adi, na adi, na andam, na sampradishta. Three things. Not adi and andam only. Know the beginning and the end, but where it happened. Sampradishta. Or where is it situated? You won't know it. Krishna is saying. Krishna's point is important, isn't it? Nando, na chadir, na cha sampradishta. Where is this whole thing is? Where is this existing? This space, where is that? That is Sampradishta, he is saying here. So, you cannot know, unless you know these things, you want to know the beginning, you want to know where the end is, and you want to know where is it? Where is this creation now? We are saying we are sitting in the world, we are fighting in this world for the land, for the price. Property prices are going up, people are feeling happy. Property prices are going down, people are feeling miserable. So all these things, it is all happening in this external world, is it not? Krishna is saying to us, നരൂപമസേഹ തഥോപലഭ്യതേ നാന്തോർണ ചാതിർണച സംപ്രതിഷ്ഠ. സോ ദിസ് സംസാര വൃക്ഷം, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദിസ് ട്രീ ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ, ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഇഫ് യു എൻക്വയർ അബൌട്ട് ദീസ് ത്രീ തിങ്സ്, വെയർ ഇറ്റ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ്, വെൻ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഗോയിങ് ടു കം ടു എൻഡ്, ആൻഡ് വെയർ ഈസ് ഇറ്റ് സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ്, യു വോണ്ട് ഗെറ്റ് എൻ ആൻസർ അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ്. Why you won't get it? Na ando na cha adihi. It has no beginning, it has no end. It has no beginning, it has no end. And you will never know when it's going to come to an end, where it's going to come to an end. It's an amazing creation, this is it not? When you think about the creation, that how would you give any logic to this? You cannot know when it started, you cannot know when it's going to an end, and you don't know where it is. And we are very feeling very proud about the whole thing. That power of Maya, that is what Krishna is trying to explain to us. That till you come out of that, and if you start inquiring, you won't be able to give an answer to that. If you ask where it started, no idea. When it's going to come to an end, no idea. And can you hold on to it from beginning to end? That is also not possible. In the middle, you keep coming and going, coming and going. This is our situation today, isn't it? Because before it comes to an end, we will be taken out from here. And when it started, we were not here. We were brought in the middle sometime. We were brought in here for a few years and we were taken out from here. We were taken out from here. So when it started, we were not here. Similarly, when it disappears also, we won't be here. We won't be here. And in the middle, just like sometimes in the film you see, there will be some characters, they'll come in the middle for some time, and then they will go, is it not? After that, you don't see them. They're somewhere for 1 hour or half an hour, they will have some role to play, and then they are finished. They call it the extras or supporting actors or something. Hero and the heroine will be there for most of the time, but then the supporting actors also, they will come for, they have a small role to play, and once they are done, they have gone away. So, similarly, at the beginning, we are not here. At the end also, we are not here. So what can we say? That is what Krishna is saying. Na andaha, na adihi, na ja sampradishta. Pradishta means, that is the most important thing. Pradishta means the source. Where has it come from? Isn't it? Or what they call, another word is substratum. Substratum. Where is it? This creation is. Where is it? Okay, we can say the earth planet is rotating in the space. But where is the space? Where is the space fixed? Where is this whole planets are moving around? Where is it? So, Vishwam means that. Vishwam does not mean only this earthly planet. Vishwam means this whole thing, manifested thing. What is manifested in front of us. What we are seeing through the eyes, and hearing through the ears, and touching through the senses, and experience all the 5 senses. So, all these 5 senses experience is this creation. And where is this whole thing? That is all Pratishta. Pratishta means that. Sampradishta. Sampradishta means, where is it situated? You need a somewhere to show that it is here, isn't it? That what is the underlying principle, or what is the basis on which it is existing? You can't give an answer to that. Nobody can give an answer, can they? Nobody can give an answer to that question. You can say so many things. Okay, now they're saying that there is one universe. In this universe, we have so many planets. And whatever the science and the telescope has reached that far, they can tell us. Nothing more than that. Okay, when they look through the telescope, they may see millions of stars. But is there anything after that? How do we know it doesn't exist or not? We have no idea. So our instruments, our study, and our research, our conclusions are all incomplete. That we have to agree. It is better to be honest about that. Krishna's point is, na adi, na andaha, na cha sampratishta. Na rupam asyeha tatopa labhyate. And you just don't have a clue what it is all about. In this way, we have to look at the world, all the creation. Not the way the scientists present to us, because this is more the real to the truth, close to the truth. Now, admitting this, that I haven't got a clue what this world is, where it started, when it's going to come to an end, and where is it all situated, isn't it? So, where is it situated? That's what Krishna is saying. So, you know, Archimedes mentioned this. Archimedes says here,
that if I find out a post or a pillar to which all this thing is tied up with, I'm not getting that center, he said. This is the problem. If you know the center from whom all these things has come, that is the very basic thing, isn't it? Fundamental thing. Or how do you put it, if you want to say that, that there must be some source from which everything has come. If I know the source, if I can get that, then I can explain the world. Archimedes says this. In one of his, he was a great personality, isn't it? He didn't get it. He didn't get it. Because what was the mistake? He was also inquiring outside. Archimedes also was. He was a great philosopher and a scientist as well. But the problem was that, unlike the rishis, what he did was, this inquiry went outside. That's where the problem is. But he was also inquiring outside. And that source where everything is connected to, that source was inside. That he didn't get it. He didn't get it. But he was looking for that source outside. So you can see how damaging it is. If your inquiry is in the wrong place, then everything is gone. That is what the importance given, rishis gave importance to. They are saying you're looking at the wrong place for the origin of the creation. So that is what he's saying here. Marubamaseha tadoba labhyade nandona chadirnaja sampratishta. Sampratishta. So then the question comes, why all this creation spoken in the Bhagavatam? There is creation explained there. Puranam all talks about creation. Bible talks about creation. 7 days it was created and all sorts of things, isn't it? So ordinary people, they will ask all sorts of questions. They will ask many questions, isn't it? How this world has come. How this world has come. Everything you can't give explanation and to make people understand. So what do? We will say Brahma created this world. If it was a Christian, he will say God created this in 7 days' time. He has his explanation and we have our explanation also, isn't it? So in this way, everybody gives some explanation. If we say to somebody, Brahma created this world, he's satisfied. See, then we'll read how he created in different times, different living entities and all that. And then we accept Brahma is sitting up there somewhere, is creating all these things, isn't it? Also, if you ask a little bit more, we'll say, five material elements were created. And those five material elements, again, God, Panchikaranam they call it, different transmutations and combinations, they turned up and then different living entities came out with different kinds of bodies, all these things. So in the Upanishad commentary, Acharya Swami is asking there, so why it is spoken like this in different places? Even in the Vedic literature itself, creation is spoken in different ways. In Puranam, many Puranams it's spoken in different ways. In Bhagavatam it's spoken in one way. So his question is, why is it spoken in different way? Because he says here that avipakshidaha ya srishtikramaha. Vedam has no intention to talk to you about creation. Vedam does not want to discuss this because it's meaningless discussing about the creation. Then why it's spoken like this? Just like a mother, when it wants to put the child to sleep, mother will tell stories, is it not? And that stories need not be very sensible stories. You can speak anything in that story. All the child wants is mother should be sitting there and telling the stories. So the mother will tell some stories that one, there's a story in the Upanishad, this is, that says one mother mentioned a story like this to the child. She is telling the story. A barren woman had 3 children. Barren woman had 3 children. One child has not entered into the womb. Other child never came out of the womb. And a third child had never thought of taking birth. Mother is saying this story one after the other. Child is half asleep and says, child is not asking any question. Then what happened, child? Mother has to keep on saying the story till the child falls asleep. Till the child falls asleep. All these 3 children went on a pilgrimage. The story is going on. All the three children went on a pilgrimage. And when they were traveling, they saw a bow which was made of the horns from the rabbit. Rabbits have no horn, isn't it? So with the horns of the rabbit, they found a big bow made out of that. And they were having flowers on their heads, which was coming from the sky. And then they reached a big desert. The child is saying, then what happened? The story is going on. Mother is repeating this story again and again, absolutely without any connection. So wherever he looked in the desert, he could see there were lakes and there were plenty of tanks and rivers flowing there and all these things. So when she is telling this story, the child is saying, answering everything. And ultimately what happened? The child slept and mother stopped the story. Mother knows that that's all right to tell all these stories to him, because her intention was that the child should sleep. That's all. So for that, some story has to be said. So, ultimately what happened? The child slept, isn't it? Some other children, if you tell them the stories, that's not enough. They'll say, how did that happen? So you cannot answer those questions. Because if you start asking how this has happened, how can that happen, then the story comes to an end. So similarly, Maya has done a story. And that story is this world. This is Maya's story, this is. And you can inquire about the beginning and the end and waste your time in this world. You can do that. That is what is expected from us, from Maya. Maya wants us to do this, that you waste your time in this way, inquiring about the origin of this world and when it's going to come to an end. You can see all scientists are absolutely unbelievably busy with this. Often they come with the statements, isn't it? Sun planet, there is only so much helium left. And after the sun will run out, moon will run out. And all kinds of fancy things they talk. And they are busy with this. Mind is completely absorbed in the Maya. And that's what Maya wants. Because idea of the Maya is that your attention don't go inside. It should stay outside. That's why she plays this game with us. They will never allow us to take our attention inwards, towards the source. Because it is there, in Atma, all these things are happening. This Maya, this creation, is because of Atma inside. If Atma is not there, Maya is not there. When Atma is there, Maya is there. And it is all these experiences, research, inquiry, your questions, answers, meetings, seminars, discussions, universities, instruments, research work, everything is happening in this Maya. Everything happening in this Maya. So, as long as her idea is that you should not go inwards. That's her main concern. Maya won't allow that. So, in order to keep your attention in the world, she'll keep on throwing a different toys to you. She will keep us busy with this. Offering different toys. Like children, what you do? To keep their attention on the toys so that you won't go, child won't cry. Isn't it? That's why mother gives some more and more toys to him. So if you know that, when it is giving us different toys, we will be busy with those toys, what the science has given us. And then somehow or the other, she will capture our attention in this Maya's world and keep us occupied with various things here, somehow or the other. So, and create problems also in the middle. And what will the science do? Science will try to solve the problems. Science will try to solve the problems. That business itself is wrong. This trying to solve the problems. Because, so once it so happened that scientists are trying to find out the beginning, scientists are trying to find out the end of this creation, and scientists are also trying to solve the problems of this creation. Is it not? These three things scientists are always doing. Trying to find out the beginning of the creation, trying to find out the end of the creation, and trying to find out solve the problems of the creation. This is what scientists' business is, isn't it? So once it so happened, there was a scientist. And that scientist had two sons. He was a family man, he had two sons as well. So once it so happened that, you know, these people who sell the toys, he came with loads of toys once. So his children saw the toys, what he was selling, and came up and told the father scientist that I want those toys to play with. So, so he had various types of toys. In the villages, they bring up all these things. Now, of course, we are more sophisticated toys to sell in the Toys R Us and all that. But in the villages, still you find people bringing all sorts of toys to sell. Some of them, they're getting more and more technical now. You can put wind them up and the car will run on the floor. Like the children use all of these things, isn't it? So various types of toys he was selling. And he brought these toys into this house where the scientist was living. So, so there was one particular toy in which, you may have seen this, it's not very expensive, plastic ball-like thing, in that there is so many rings in there. Right in the middle of that, there is a hole there. And there's a lot of steel balls, which will keep on moving. And there is break inside at the different fences. Every child must have played with it. It is funny thing. When you are a child, you feel fascination to all these things, isn't it? So what you have to do is, you have to keep moving this in such a way that all the steel balls have to get through these broken barriers and get into the middle and fall into the middle hole. Then you have won the game. That's what, like, something like this. Snakes and ladder business, another one. Funny thing it is, yeah. But this thing had got 8 or 9 balls in that steel balls. So, costing very little. So, and it is got a plastic top and a plastic bottom also. So, a few rupees, the scientist said he bought it. He bought it. So, what the scientist do? He wants to make sure that everything working properly because he knows about it. So this man sold it and he left. After that he started playing. First the father plays with it before giving it to the child. This is, goes on in every house. This is the usual story. Householder's life is all this, isn't it? So he plays with it and he found out that after he has played, 3-4 of them fell into that hole in the middle. Fifth one was a much bigger one. It won't go in. It's bigger than the hole inside. So the scientist started thinking, why is it not going? There must be some technique behind it. He thought and thought and thought about it. He couldn't get an answer about it. Meanwhile, this man who has sold all these things, he has gone and sold a few more to the other houses and he was on his way back. On his way back, he called him back. He said, come here, he said. He said, you have sold me something which doesn't work. He says, So this man, the toy man, he is buying all these things from different places and he's not bothered about the technicalities of it. All these things. He doesn't have to answer everyone these questions. So he says to the scientist, what's wrong? He said. He says, look at this. He said, this big ball is not going into this. He said, it's bigger than the hole. So that person who has sold it, he says to him, did I tell you that it will all go into it? He said, I didn't tell you that. I just sold it to you as a toy. You have to treat it like a toy only. You are trying to find out the cause of this, how it was created and how it should work, and you are trying to explanation to all that. I have not asked you for any explanation. I have sold it purely as a toy. So you have to treat it like a toy, he says to the scientist. So, did I give you a paper in writing saying that all the balls will go into that hole? I didn't do that, he said. So he says to him, you don't need much logic, he said, that a bigger ball won't go into a smaller hole. It doesn't require a big explanation to that. So you have bought this and you have purchased it from me. I sold it to you. But why you waste your time doing all these things? He said, give it to the child. He will deal with it, he said. So why this story is, many problems of this world is like this. Don't try to look for solution in this world. Solution in this world. In order to teach us this, that just like you're trying to put the big ball into that small hole, many problems in this world, you cannot solve it. That we have to accept it. It's no point in fighting against that. So how will you solve the problem then? The answer to that is, how will you solve your problems in the dream state? Yeah, you have to wake up from the dream. That's the only way you can solve that problem. Wake up from the dream. Similarly, the desert in the dream state, you cannot avoid it. It is there in the dream state. Only when you wake up from the dream state, you are not in the desert. You are not in the desert. Similarly, if you wake up, then there is no problem. So, till we wake up into spiritual life and spiritual reality, better not to try to solve the problems of this world. This question, Paul Brenton asked this question to Ramana Maharshi. He asked this question. He said, the answer, he said, Paul Brenton wrote down all the questions, what he had to ask. And he went up to him and asked Maharshi about it. He said, there is no problem to be solved. That was his answer. Problem must be dropped. You drop the problem. Don't try to solve the problem because it need not be solved. There's no need to solve the problem because don't try to solve the problem, transcend the problem. That is the answer to that. That's the answer. That is spiritual life. Transcending the problem is spiritual life. Not solving the problem is not spiritual life. Even in our life in this world, if we think that we can solve the problem, it's not going to happen. It will not work. It's not going to happen. There are many things what's going on in this world which is completely out of our control. Anything can happen, is it not? So many things. If you carefully observe in the world, you can see what all goes on in this world. What solution have you got for the problem? Things can happen. So don't try to solve the problem. That is the answer to that. He says to him, there is no problem to be solved. Problem must be dropped. And it need not be solved. It need not be solved. This was the answer, Maharshi's answer to him. So that means when you have come to this understanding and when you have met a person who is in that state, then you transcend this material existence. So that is what in the Bhagavatam, Shuga Brahmarshi says this. If you look into Bhagavatam verses, you will see this in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has got all these things to say to us. If you look into the 10th canto, in the 14th chapter, Lord Brahma says this to him. What is Brahma saying? Brahma saying there, it's a very nice way Brahma put that in that verse. In a very beautiful way. How he put it was, look at the verse. Evam vidham tvam, 24th verse in the 14th chapter. Evam vidham tvam sagalalpanam api svalpanam almalpadaya vichakshade gurvarkalabdho ubanishal su chakshusha yede tarandiva bhavanurtam bhudim. Evam vidhatvam sagalalpanam api svalpanam almalpadaya vichakshade gurvarkalabdho ubanishalsu chakshusha yede tarandiva bhavanrtam budhim. Yede tarandiva bhavanrtam budhim. It's an important verse in the Bhagavatam. Why? That you are trying to cross an ocean. You are trying to yede tarandiva bhava anrdam bhavambudim. Ambudi means ocean. Ambudi means ocean. Bhavam means this cycle of birth and death. Bhavam. Bhavam means cycle of birth and death. Bhavam is considered to be like a endless thing. Like the world, it has come into existence, we don't know. When it's going to come to an end, we don't know. In the middle, all so many things are happening. So many things are happening. Where is it? Adhishtanam? We don't know. Maya's creation power. Maya's power, that is. She is able to keep these three things away from us to such a long time. Even today we don't know.
isn't it? When it has begun, we don't know. Where it's going to come to an end, we don't know. Where is all this happening, we don't know. So these three things Maya successfully kept out of our understanding. So in this world of Maya, Ede Tarandiva Bhavam Anradam Bhudim, in the middle of all this, this bhavam is going on. What is bhavam means? Bhavam means this. We come, we go. We come, we go. We come, we go. Is it not? We come, get a body, we come here. And for a few 100 years or 50 years or 60 years, whatever, we inquire so many things and then we are gone. And then we'll come back again and again inquiry starts. So this way, coming and going, this is a part that is called bhavambudhi. Bhavambudhi means that. Anradam, he says. Anradam means force. It's force. It is force. So he says here, this ocean, this ambudhi means ocean. This ocean, when he wanted to cross, he looked at it and he found the ocean has dried up. Ocean doesn't exist. Because it's not a real thing. That is why it is like that. Ede tarandiva bhavam anradam ambudhim, says Brahma. Brahma is saying this. Brahma is saying to us that it was only in our mind and the head that all this exists. In reality, it has no existence. It's Maya's way of cheating us. Maya's way of cheating us. So, actually, there is only one truth. That is what he's saying. Svalpanam almalmadaya vichakshade. Truth is only Atma. Brahma is saying to Krishna, about Krishna is saying this. It is Garbhastudhi. Garbhastudhi means the one when Brahma appeared, isn't it, to glorify Krishna. With demigods he came. So when Brahma had to say this to Krishna, these are one of the most topmost prayers in the Bhagavad. This Brahma's Garbhastudhi, in the womb, when Krishna was in the womb. So there is saying to Krishna that evam vidam tvam sagalalpanam abhi. So many things he said. Then he says to him that what is the truth in all these things? That svalpanam almalmadaya vijakshade. One who has gone inside and found that Atma inside, for him, he will understand that he, how did he find that? Guru Varka Labdo Upanishad Svichakshusha. Through the eyes of the Upanishads, he has understood that that truth, that center is inside, not outside. He has found out that it is inside, not outside. Guru Varka Labdo Upanishad Svichakshusha. Upanishad's eyes, it says. Upanishad Svichakshusha. Means Upanishad's eyes, he has seen that that center is inside, not outside. And when he saw that, what happened? Ede tarandiva bhava anradam bhudim. He found that there is no material existence, there is no ocean to cross, there is no samsara vriksham. All these things, what we are thinking, it exists, it exists, it exists, it doesn't exist. This is what happens. This is how you cross that. Sometimes we say material existence. Samsara dhavan analethala. We like all that songs, don't we? To sing that material existence and we have to cross the ocean of material. We say like that, isn't it? Ocean of material existence. And we think there's a huge ocean to cross. But there is no ocean. That is what we found out. When he realized the truth, he found that there is nothing to cross. There is nothing to do. Anything from that. How? Evam vidham tuam sagalalpanam abhi. Svalpanam almalmadaya vijakshade guruvarkalabdho upanishalsu chakshusha yade tarandiva bhava anradam bhudim. This is Brahma's one of the famous verses in the Bhagavadam. I was thinking, I have to cross, I have to get out of this material life, I was thinking. And I was frightened about this, thinking about the material. Sometimes when you talk about material life, you get frightened, isn't it? Oh, so many bodies I had. And the Puranam tells you 8.4 million you have gone through. And you have come to this stage. How many bodies I will get. That's why when somebody tells you, oh, you are going back to the spiritual world, you feel happy. You don't have to come back here.
you take a great relief from that, is it not? So what is the point here is, this particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita is pointing out to us this, that I struggled very hard, because thinking about that, if you read the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, that's enough to frighten you, isn't it? You get completely frightened, which hellish planets I'll be visiting after death, and where will, some people ask all this question, Yama Dharmaraja, what happens after death? They'll say, if you say to them that, oh, you have to go to Yama Dharmaraja, will interview you first, and they will bring out your file, Chitragupta will bring the file, and then you will start going through the file, everything, and then you will make your decision about your future, where you will go. So you will be imagining yourself, what will be like there, and then you have read the fifth canto, all the different kinds of hellish planets that you have to go through, where somewhere you are put into boiling oil or something, and somewhere else some powerful animals will rip you into your ribs and completely smash you down, and you'll be thinking how 99,000 miles will be dragged to the desert and things like that. So you're reading all these things, this all picture will come, and you'll get more frightened about material life. So you get worried about it, and then you become more conscious about karma, but you can't leave any karma also. In this situation, we are like this. So Brahma's point, and Krishna is also explaining this, if you start analyzing that route, you won't find any end to it. Better not to go down in that research. People are doing research on the fifth canto. What can you say to them? our mind, I'm saying, how it works. Everything, research. As soon as this fifth canto has created a lot of interest among the Western devotees particularly. They find it so interesting, they want to do research there also. So where is this research going to come to an end? Even Sugha Brahmarshi says at the end of fifth canto, ultimately, don't worry about all these things. He says there. They're not read that or why. I don't know why it is. They have not taken that seriously. They go after this fifth canto. They find it interesting. Because they are saying, because Prabhupada has told them that this from the Shastram, it is authorized, it is not why. So naturally you'll start thinking in that way, isn't it? That, and somewhere else in the Bhagavatam, Kapilavarshi says to Devahuti Devi, this heaven and hell is all here only in this world, because you don't have to go, you go to a district hospital or somewhere, you can see the hell going on there, how the hell is experienced here itself. Heaven also you can see to a large extent how many people trying to enjoy here. There is nothing else, he said. Atraiva naraga surga idimada prajakshade. It is there in the Bhagavatam, you can see. So Bhagavatam says both hell and heaven is here, and hell and heaven is explained in the fifth canto also. Sugha Brahmarshi says all these things, isn't it? So here the question is that I'm working all my life very hard to cross this ocean of material life, material existence. And ultimately, when you get realized, you start thinking, is this why I was doing all these things for? What was I doing it all this for? Isn't it? And I lie down where I am and I'll start laughing myself, isn't it? So, when you are inside this, you won't know the beginning and you won't know the end. You're always in this fear. Where did this world came about? Where is it going to come to an end? Where is it all happening? Isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying here. Na ando, na cha adihi, na cha sampratishta. You have to go through this verse in detail. Otherwise, you won't capture the message what Krishna is saying. If you just read the verse and translation, you won't get it. Why Krishna said this? Because to make us aware that you are completely under the control of Maya, which Krishna discussed in the last chapter. Then the three modes of material nature. That is Maya, isn't it? And so long as you are under the three modes of material nature, all this exists. This exists. That is, you only experience it all the time, isn't it? You have to go through this misery. You have no other way. Like in the dream state, you have to experience it till you come out of the dream. Similarly, till you come out of the Maya, this has to go on. This cannot come to an end. So, and that thing he is saying here, in that verse, saying here, Ashwathamenam subirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridena chitva. This is the solution to that problem. First thing is to recognize the first two lines. What is that? Narubamasyeha tadobalabhyade nando najadir naja sampradishtaha. That is first realization.
After that,
Krishna is saying,
Ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. That is the solution to the problem. First two lines is the problem, second two lines is the solution. That is why this verse, and this is the only thing that will make any sense. Not what the scientists are doing, politicians are doing, businessmen are doing. This makes more sense to than anything else, at least in our limited understanding. Otherwise it has no meaning, all what is going on in this world. You can spend billions of pounds in research, in inquiry and all sorts of things, isn't it? What is going on? People feel that one day, where is this one day not going to come, because Krishna is saying there, you will not find it. Krishna is saying to us very clearly, you will not get it, he says. That's why he said, na andaha, na adir, na jasam pradishtaha. Three things. There's no beginning, it's no end, it's too big. We can't handle it. It's no point in wasting time on it. That is stupidity, isn't it? When you know that you can't do it and still you keep on hammering it, that is stupid, is it not? That's when you somebody call moodha, the word. Shastric word is moodha or stupid, whatever you call it. That is stupidity. I can't say anything else to say about modern science except what this is what Krishna has to say. Na adir, na andaha, na ja sampradishtaha. In this situation, where are they going to find this truth? How can they find the truth? The person who has created all these things, from whom everything has come, who alone exists, nothing else exists, it's him only, Krishna exists. And he is saying that this is what you are in at the moment. He told about that samsara vriksham, that tree of the material existence. And in there, we are that little birds on that tree. And this bird is thinking he will find out the beginning of this tree. And that tree in reality doesn't exist even. Is it not? That reality, Krishna, that is what Brahma is saying there. You see, in that verses, if you look, they will see that evam vidhantvam sagalalpanomabhi sagalalpanomabhi swalpanam almatmadaya vijakshadem guruvarkalabdho upanishal suchakshusha yede tarandiva bhava nradam budhim yede tarandiva bhava nradam budhim. So Brahmastuti, if you look, you can see here that there are number of verses, the first 10, 12 verses, Brahma is trying to make us understand this personality who had come, who is he, talking about Krishna. Who is this personality? Try to understand to us, he is saying to us about this. Is it not? So that is why throughout that Brahmastuti, you will see Brahma talking about Maya. How Maya plays her role. And he says, Almanam eva almadaya vijanadam tenaiva jatam nikhilam prapancham prapanchidam jnanena bhuyo bijatal praliyate rajva maher bhoga bhava bhavauyata ajnana samyo bhava bandha moksho dvau namananyo stakhadanya bhavad ajasrajitya almanike vale pare vijayamane tarana vivahani. Like this, Brahmastuti, you have to look, read through it again and again, so you will understand that what Brahma is saying, an important thing. So, that is the one important principle that Krishna is explaining through that two lines. Narubamasyeha tadovalabhyade nando na chadir naja sampradishta. That is the problem. Narubamasyeha tadovalabhyade na andaha na adihi naja sampradishtaha. And what is the solution? Ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridena chitva. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. So, asanga shastrena dridena chitva. That is the answer. What is asanga shastrena dridena chitva means? That through detachment, renunciation, anasakti yogam, it is called. And it is considered to be not being attached to anything. No sangam. No sangam. And that is the sword, Krishna is saying. Asanga shastrena dradena chitva. Asangam means not getting connected with anything. No sangam to anything. Anything means nothing with the world, not even with the body. That is asangatva. Asangatva means that. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna, sachidananda rupoham, aham evaham avyayam. This is the words in the Upanishad. Asangatvam. Asangatvam means, I have nothing to do with this world. I have no connection with this world. To getting that established inside. I know it's a long journey, it's not easy, but that is the only way it will happen. That's what he's saying. Asanga shastrena, asanga, the sword of asangatvam. Asangatvam means detachment from everything. Dridhena chitva, with that sword cut the tree of this connection. So, if you say that, I can't cut that tree, it's not easy to cut that tree in that way. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Devahuti says to Kapila Vasudev about this, he says to him, it's like this asanga shastrayanam. Asanga shastra means this sword is like a kathari. Kathari means, I don't know what to say in English, that a small thing, but it is very sharp. And if you push it into somebody's body, like you know these people who, young men who wants to kill someone, they have that thing. It's kind of a knife, yeah. But a knife which has got very strong, it won't bend or anything. It's strong metal and it's very sharp as well, but it is short. All you have to do is to pierce it into someone and then it's over. Life is over. Though that's called kutharam. Kutharam, kathari, kutharam they call it. So, if you get a Sadguru, a spiritual master, who has that realization, he is in a position to do this. To you. It's impossible to lose you. So that's the only way. With that kathari, he has to put it into you to break it, to cut it through. So tadaparam tadparimargidavyam. If you look into the next verse, you will see. And he says, tadaparam tadparimargidavyam. He will show you that goal where you have to reach. And yasmin gadanam nivartanti bhuyaha. Yasmin gadana nivartanti bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham prabadye yada pravrti prasrida purani. So that padam, tadap padam tad parimargidavyam. When you start your inquiry towards that place, because this place is not making any sense. This is Maya's place. Maya made this place for us and put us into this completely baffled situation. All of us, is it not? We don't know why we are here. We don't know what we are doing here. We do so many things because society is telling us to do. Raise a family, getting married, pay the mortgage, buy the house. All sorts of things we are doing here, thinking that it is expected of us to do all these things. Who tells us to do this? Who has told us that we have to do all these things? Because we think that we have to do all these things and we feel, and then we say, oh, I have the, what do they call it, duty. We call this as duty. We created ourselves all the duty. Self-created duties they are called. Self-created ones. Society is telling us, oh, it's your duty, isn't it? And then some shastram to support that also. So somebody tells us that and we take it very seriously. But Krishna is saying to us, yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyaha. You won't come out of it till you understand what exactly your goal is. Your goal is not all these things. That's the point Krishna is making. Tadapadam tad parimargidavyam. That padam which is not like this, where we are now here. In this falsity, we are trying to establish some truth. The whole thing is so false. Maya's world, that is. You can see that. No beginning, no end. Where it's happening, no idea. But we are all very busy. Is it not? Tadapadam tad parimargidavyam. Krishna says, unless you come out of this falsity, it's farce. From this farce situation, there is no escape route. Tadapadam, that place, which is not subjected to this falsity of Maya. tadapadam dat parimargitavyam yasmin gada anivartanti bhuyah. Unless you get there, you are not going to escape from this. So, getting where, you won't come back again here or come back into this orbit of this maya. How is it possible to show this to someone, that there is a place like this which is not touched by maya? And that is why that two lines he is saying there, tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yada pravrti prasada purani. That is the answer to that. So solution is tadapadam dat parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyah. Yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyah. After getting to that, don't come back again into this orbit of maya. Get back into maya's control again. Yasmin gada na nivartanti bhuyah. And how will that happen? Tameva jadyam purusham prabadye yada pravrti prasrada purani. Tameva jadyam purusham prabadye purusham prabadye yada pravrti prasrada purani. So that is the answer. What is that answer means? It means that from purusha purani, that parama purusha, from whom all this has come about, which means what? Andaryami inside. It is from him this world has come, is it not? Because of him only you are experiencing the world outside. And it is from him that this world has come out, and this world has grown and expanded and became a big tree because of him. If Andaryami was not there, you won't be seeing all these things, isn't it? But we of course don't worry about Andaryami. We are worried about the world more than the Andaryami. So when your all attention is in the world, Krishna is saying to us, tameva tameva chadyam purusham prabadye, that purusham from whom everything has come. Go back there, he says to him, and tameva chadyam purusham prabadye, surrender unto him, to that Andaryami, from where it has come. And what he said, yada pravrti prasrada purani, yada pravrti prasrada purani, that unconditionally surrender unto Andaryami. And because it is from him this whole world has come. If he wasn't there, the world won't be there for us, would it? See, world may or may not exist. Maya is always existing. You are experiencing the world. That is the problem, is it not? The problems of this maya we are experiencing, therefore we find it difficult. Krishna's point is, world let it exist, but you are experiencing because of Andaryami inside. Prasada Purani, that Andaryami from whom everything has come. That is why we say creation is not outside, creation is inside. If he wasn't there, again the same thing in another form is that Drik Drishya Vivekam. Drikka is not important, Drishyam is not important. Drishyam is the world, Drik is the Andaryami inside. So he says there, unconditionally surrender unto him. Unconditionally surrender unto him. And through his grace, this material, this big tree which Krishna has spoken in the last two verses, that will completely die out. That tree will die because of his kripa, his grace, isn't it? In other words, you will wake up from the dream. By his grace, you wake up from the dream. And when you wake up from the dream, what happens? The mind moves away from that into reality, isn't it? At the moment, we can have experience normally also. In the mind experiences the dream. When you are woken up, what happens? The mind leaves that dream and comes to this vacant state. It's the mind that shifts. From the, like the switch, it moves from one position to another position. When the mind was in the position 1, when it was in the dream, all the dream experiences you were having. When you switch to the mind position 2, the dream experiences have all gone, the world experiences have come in. So that is the only way Krishna is saying here. Once this mind will lose this experience of this Swapnam as well as Jagrat, and will go into the third position where mind was not experiencing, which was in the deep sleep. That state will come to the vacant state also.
Ganpati. So, whatever mind is bothering us with the different images, what the mind is producing in front of us, all of them will go very quickly. It cannot stay. It cannot stay. So only by taking Krishna shelter, this is possible. That is the answer to this question. And that is why, that means depending on Krishna's grace, completely taking Krishna shelter, this has to happen. This has to happen. That is the, these two verses Krishna is going to talk about. So, narubamasyeha tadobalabhyade nandonana chadir nacha sampradishtaha ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva tadapadam dadparimargidavyam yasmin gada nanivartandi bhuyaha tameva chadyam purusham prabadye yada pravrti prasrda purani. Prasrda purani. So, so with those four verses, Krishna has said two things. First two verses, Krishna talked about the tree. About the tree, isn't it? About the tree Krishna has spoken. In the next two verses, Krishna has spoken about the how to cut the tree. How to cut that tree. That's what he has spoken. So that is the four verses we have looked at so far. Try to remember these verses if you can. Urdhvamoolam athashakham ashwattham prahu avyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastum vedasa vedavid. First one. Then secondly, Krishna says there that athascha urdhvam prasridastasya shakha. How that tree grows. Why? Gunapravardha vishayapravala. Imagine that tree within yourself. How that tree survives. Gunapravardha vishayapravala. Due to the three modes of material nature, it's like the fertilizer for that tree to grow. Then, athascha moolani anusandhadani. If I do not cut through that tree's root, right from with the seed, if you don't burn the seed, like Vasishtha says, Krishna says, cut the root down. Vasishtha says, burn the seed of the root, where it's coming from. Adascha moolani anusandhadani. Otherwise, karmanu bandhini manushya loke. It will again bind you to this tree, again with through karma. Karma is the one that's binding us to the tree, is it not? Which is in the form of prarabdham, agamam and sanjidam. Then, this tree, Krishna is saying, first thing remember, he said, narubamasyeha tatobalabhyade nandona chadir naja sampradishtaha. Then, such a form, he says, that you don't know how this is existing, this tree and this whole creation. Narubamasyeha tatobalabhyade. You cannot know this. It is so subtle that I don't understand this. You don't understand this, isn't it? Na rupamasyeha tato vilabhyate. What else? Na andaha, na adihi, na sampradishtaha. I don't have the beginning, nor have the end, nor where is it all situated. Where is it? Absolutely, you are stuck there. You can't go an inch further from that. Then he says, ashwatthamenam suvirudha moolam. Because it's a false thing, only you can do is asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. That asangatvam, asangatvam, that is the answer everywhere. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Asangatvam means that you don't develop attachment or any kind of relationship with this Maya's world. If you do develop, then you are in trouble. Then you cannot cut it if you develop attachment. So cutting the tree means asanga shastrena, through asangatvam, chitva, break, cut it, he said. Dridhena chitva, dridhena chitva. So, anasakta yogam. It is called anasakta yogam. Anasakta means no asakti, no attachment everywhere. Remember, Krishna also said to us earlier, where did he say that? In the seventh chapter. Mayasakta. Mayasakta manaparta.
That is that word. Asakti, there it is asakti. Here Krishna is saying anasakti.
My asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. Means attached to the soul. Get attached to me. Attached to the soul, in other words. Only when we are attached to the soul, Krishna is saying, this attachment to the matter will go. Otherwise it won't go. Attachment to the world means attachment to matter, isn't it? Not attachment to the spirit. Through attachment to the spirit, attachment to the soul, we have to cut the attachment to the matter. Attachment to the... In other words, attachment to Chaitanya, living force, and detachment to Jadam, dead matter.
Detachment to Jadam, dead matter. So, he mentions that. And then in the last verse, Tadapadam dat parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha tameva chadyam purusham prabadde yada pravarti prasrada purani. Krishna is saying that in this setup of this maya, you will never get anywhere except that you know where you want to be. First of all, you have to know that, Krishna is saying. That place, tadapadam, tat parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha. This place is coming and going. That's what will happen here. Whereas that place is na nivartandi bhuyaha. You don't come back, go and come back from there again. Once you go back, you're there. You don't come back from there again to this place where there is coming and going. Coming and going is a symptom of maya. It's a symptom of maya. Tam eva chadyam purusham prabhadye yada pravarti prasuda purani. So this purusham prabhadye, where this tree started its life from? Antaryami. That's where it started. From him came the mind. Mind grew up, engaged in all sorts of activities, engaged in karma. With the result, karma vasana came up. And remember, we talked about that tree, how the tree came into existence, like the banyan tree. From that seed, a huge banyan tree was able to come out. And that huge banyan tree had so many fruits in that, each fruit had so many seeds in that, and each seed was capable of generating another huge banyan tree. Similarly, our mind, which has come from that root, which is the Alpa, Antaryami from there, came out, and that mind is the one which is referring to here. Body is only a temporary thing. Mind is a permanent thing, isn't it? That mind goes on with one body to another body. Again it travels, isn't it? So that's why the mind is actually referred to as that tree, material existence. And that mind is capable of generating many more bodies, and depending on how many impressions and vasanas it has got inside, ragadvesham inside, all the problems, this world itself exists inside the mind. If you look at it, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham, all the four things is jagat. Kartrutva, bhoktrutva, ragadvesham va iti jagat. That's the definition of the jagat. And where does that jagat exist? Jagat exists in the mind. So that's where it is coming from. So Krishna mentions there that that mind has to be, has to go. And once that gone, and it will only happen by the mercy where it is coming from, he has to stop it. Who? Antaryami. It's him who sent it out. Antaryami sent it out from inside, isn't it? He released it, this mind. This energy called mind was released by Antaryami inside. Surrender unto him, not to release this mind. And with his grace only, this can happen. There is no other way. This is Krishna's answer to that. You can see Krishna always speaking very strongly about the mind. Is it not? In the sixth chapter also you will see. Mind is, the whole thing is focused on the mind. Body, he hasn't got too much about body, because body, he knows it will go one day anyway. You lose one body. So you have to look at the reason why you get another body. That is what more important. Not the next body is not the most important thing. People ask, oh, what's the next body? I don't know. That's it. What does it matter which body we get? What's more important is what's causing the next body. That's what you have to find out. Otherwise, you leave that body and you get another body again after that. So Krishna is talking about the cause, not the effect. He is not bothered what body we got. We got a man's body, woman's body, Brahmana body, Shudra body, doesn't matter. What is important, Krishna is saying, find out what is that causing you the next body and root that out. That's what he's saying here. So we'll have a short break and we'll see after that. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahadava agnirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pratipada purna amrutasvadanam sarvatmanam sumanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namagari bahudarija sarvashakti tatrapidane vidasvaranena kala ഏതാശീതൃപാ ഭഗവാൻ നമി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിതാനുരാഗാഹരവിഷുനീചേനോരവിസഹിഷ്ണുനീയ സദാഹരിജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭക്തിരഹേതു വിത്വേ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിനം ശൂന്യായിനം ജഗത് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ At the end of, we talked this before also, Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya. One, it is Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is what is spoken in the Upanishads. In the Upanishads, what is spoken is Brahma Vidya. And then Bhagavad Gita is also Yoga Shastram. Remember that? So, these three things are in the Bhagavad Gita. Which are they? Upanishadsu, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre. Three things. Upanishadsu, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre. Brahma Vidya means science of the soul. Brahma Vidya means science of the soul, of Brahman, soul, Atma, in other words. So, that Brahma Vidya, what is spoken in the Upanishads, that's why if you look into the original, probably, I don't know whether it was that, in the very three days, at the end of each chapter, Idi Gita Shastram, Upanishalsu, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre, Shri Krishna, Arjuna Samvade, Visharupa Darshana Yoga Nama, Egadashodhyaya Samaptaha. That is how it will end each chapter. Will end with the name of the chapter, Krishna and Arjuna discussing each other, Upanishad knowledge, Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram, and the end of the chapter. That is how every chapter ends, isn't it? Yeah. So, so here in these four verses, what we have seen in this chapter, from this you can see certain things. Esha Ashwattha Sanatanaha, he says, first thing. ഊർധ്വമൂലം അധ്വശാഖ അശ്വത്വം പ്രാഹു അവ്യയം ചന്ദാംസി യസ്യ വർണ്ണാനി യസ്ത്വം വേദസ വേദവി. സോ അധശ്ച ഊർധ്വം പ്രസിദ്ധ തസ്യ ശാഖ ഗുണപ്രവൃദ്ധ വിഷയപ്രവാള അധശ്ച മൂലാനി അനുസന്ധതാനി കർമാനുബന്ധീനി മനുഷ്യലോകെ ന രൂപമസ്യേഹ തഥോപലഭ്യതേ നാന്തഹ ന ആദിർ ന ച സംപ്രതിഷ്ഠ അശ്വത്ഥം ഏനം സുവിരൂഢം മൂലം അസംഗശസ്ത്രേണ ദൃഢേന ചിത്വ തദപ്പദം തത് പരിമാർഗിതവ്യം യസ്മിൻ ഗത ന നിവർത്തന്തി ഭൂയാഹ തം ഏവം ശാദ്യം പുരുഷം പ്രപദ്യേ യഥ പ്രവൃത്തി പ്രസൃത പുരാണി. ദീസ് ആർ ദി ഫോർ വേഴ്സസ് വി ഹവ് സീൻ ദി ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് ടു വേഴ്സസ്. ദ റിയൽ ഫോം ഓഫ് ദിസ് ട്രീ കനോട്ട് ബി പെർസീവ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് no one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. So doing, one must seek that place from which, having once gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything has begun and in whom everything is abiding since time immemorial. It's all the same thing spoken in a different way. So, here, this Ashwatha tree, because Urdhamoola Ashwatham, he says, Ashwatha means this banyan tree, is Sanatanaha, is eternal. So this tree has been like this from time immemorial, this tree of material existence. And this tree is called sometime as Samsara Vraksham. Samsara Vraksham means the material, tree of material existence, or Prapancha Vraksham. And the root of that is Brahmam. It comes from the Brahmam. Chaitanyam, or living force, or Ishvara, whichever way you call it. And that is the same one which you find in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. The Chatushloki Bhagavatam, actually there is only one verse. The remaining three are supplementing this first verse. Aham eva sam eva agre nanyadil sarasvayam paschad adham yadedascha yovashishyada sosmyaham. So he is saying in that verse itself, you can see in the Chatushloki verse, the first verse, Egashlogi we call it. Egashlogi means one verse. Aham evasa meva agre nanyendit sadasat param. So, srishti or creation, or in other words, this thing what you call as creation, it is called a pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means it is something which you cannot explain, but you experience it in your senses. You are experiencing it through your senses. Or this creation which you cannot define, as you said before, na andam, na adi, na ja sampradishta. What do you say about creation then? You don't know when it has come, from where it has come, what's the basis on which it is survive existing, when it's going to come to an end, we don't know, and that, but we feel it exists. We feel it is existing. And if you ask the question, before this was created, where was all this? If you ask the question, no answer, isn't it? So if you ask that question, Krishna is saying in that verse, if you ask the question, before this creation happened, what existed? Krishna says, only me existed. In that verse, isn't it? Aham evasam eva agre nanyadyat sadasat param paschad aham yadedacha yova shishyadi sosmeham. The way Krishna puts it is, I wasn't there in the beginning, then all these things happened, then they all disappeared, then in the end I was there. That's what verse is saying. Aham evasam eva agre. I was there before everything else. And then the creation came, then the creation disappeared, and in the end I was there. Now if you take that verse literally like that, you will start wondering that means this creation will disappear one day. This Krishna is saying there, isn't it? And that is how you get this idea that this was created one day. And that's how our creation question started from that. Where did this creation come from? Who created it? So we have to find this answer in this way, that it was created by God. God created, somebody says 7 days, somebody says 10 days, somebody says it took longer than that. So so people ask, how could you do it in 7 days' time? Or how could you do it in... You cannot answer all that questions, can you? How would you answer all that questions about creation? You cannot answer any of those questions. So this creation... Before this was created, what was there? If you ask that question, how will you answer that? Krishna is saying here, nothing was there, only I was there. Only I was there before it was all created, he says. So, then he sat down and he got bored. He got so bored. So, Shruti says this, that because he got bored, he wanted to do something. So, he started playing and then this whole creation came. What else can you say? What other explanation can you give? So, Shruti says in a different nice way, he says, Krishna felt he wanted some satsangam.
He wanted samsaram. So when he wanted salsangam, he looked into his navel. He looked into his navel. And when he looked into the navel, from there a lotus flower came out. A lotus flower came out. And that lotus flower was closed. It was closed. And when Krishna's eyes, then like Krishna, first he looked at the navel and the lotus flower came out. Then he didn't look at the navel, then he looked at the lotus flower. So Krishna's eyes went down to the lotus flower. When he looked at the lotus flower opened. Then the magic happened there. So, and when he opened the lotus flower, Krishna looked inside, there was sitting Brahma there. Brahma was sitting there. So, and how did, Brahma wasn't there first. Krishna decided, let me go and sit there in the, inside the lotus flower. And then he took the form of Brahma and went and sat there. All this is not clearly answered in anywhere, is there? We accepted, oh, there was Brahma. And then we have got Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Kshirodakshay Vishnu and Karmadakshay Vishnu, all other things. After that, everything we talk about. So, we are satisfied with this answer, thinking that creation happened. Oh, Krishna looked and lotus flower came out and Brahma sat there. And Krishna got into Brahma's heart and asked Brahma, you ask me a question now. Then I will answer you the question. That's how Bhagavatam started. Krishna is asking Brahma to ask the question. Krishna himself went and sat there and saying to Brahma, now you ask the question. So, so asked him to ask the Brahma Vidya. That is Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is nothing but that, isn't it? And then Krishna himself answered the question to Brahma. He is himself asking the question and he is answering the question also. So this way, one srishti process. How? Through Brahma and others. So, two things it's indicating to us that, so, what is indicating to us is that creation can only happen from living force, from Chaitanyam. Creation is Jadam, isn't it? Jadam can only come from living Chaitanyam. Or creation, Jadam, dead matter, can only be created only from the living force. From the living force it has to be created. That means Chaitanyam is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That means it's pure, it's eternal, it is fully conscious and it's always liberated. That is the nature of Chaitanyam. Somebody says to us, what's the difference between dead matter and living force? Because Atma is a very unknown entity, isn't it, to explain. The best way to explain is this, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Its nature is, it's eternal, it doesn't, never gets destroyed, and it is always pure, nothing can make it impure. Then it is fully conscious all the time, Buddham, and it's always liberated, Muktam. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is the nature of Atma. And secondly, one thing interesting here is, before creation happened, Brahma Vidya existed. Is it not? You see, in this story also, Brahma created everything. But before Brahma created, Brahma Vidya was there. Brahma came later, after Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya existed before Brahma. Do you see the importance of that? This is why we say, when in the Bhagavadam, that that verse about Ajnanam Advayam, Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan, that Advaya Jnanam is divided into these three, Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Jnanam existed before Brahmam and Brahma, before Brahma. It is to indicate to us that it's spoken like this. Knowledge existed before creation. Knowledge existed before creation. So, these two things, you can understand that from that Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Chatushloki Bhagavatam will indicate to us these two things. So, this creation, this tree of this creation, and the seed of that creation is not different. The seed tree has come from that seed. So, in other words, it is from that knowledge, Brahma Vidya, that this Brahmam, this creation has manifested.
Therefore, that knowledge which is the seed from which this has come about, they are not different. They are not different. Because this is manifested from that knowledge, Brahma Vidya. So, and so, therefore, because this srishti or prabancham or this creation is not different from the seed from where it came. Not different from the seed where it came. Because where did this come from? Came from Brahma, Lord Brahma, isn't it? It came from Lord Brahma. Brahma created all these things. And who created, where did Brahma came from? Brahma came from Chaitanyam, from Vishnu or Krishna, who is nothing but Chaitanyam. So when Krishna wanted Salsangam, he created the, looked at the navel and the stem came out, and on top of that there was one closed lotus flower. Krishna looked at the lotus flower opened. Krishna looked in lotus flower and then he went and sat inside the lotus flower himself. When you look into this, you can see, whenever we say Krishna, you have to look at it as Chaitanyam, living force. Whenever we talk about Brahma, we are talking about dead matter and creation. Krishna went and sat in the lotus flower and asked the question to, made Brahma to ask the question to Krishna. Ask me about, and then Krishna is explaining to Brahma how to do the creation. And that's how creation came. Brahma created after getting the knowledge from Krishna, isn't it? So living force exists before matter. Living force is the source. Matter is always secondary. Primary thing is always the living force. That is one point. In other words, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam of Chaitanyam. In that Chaitanyam, whatever that comes out from that, that is called creation. Srishti or creation is something that comes from Chaitanyam. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. So we have to know both of these things. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam is Chaitanyam. Srishti is always comes from Chaitanyam. It can only come from Chaitanyam. Then secondly, second point is, Brahma Vidya before creation existed. That's the second principle. Brahma Vidya before creation existed. And they are, this creation which is the tree is not different from its seed. Not different from its seeds. That is the reason we say that this creation is not different from Krishna. Do you understand that? Because this tree creation has come from Chaitanyam. And Chaitanyam is Krishna. You see, when you talk on an impersonal level, we speak like that. When we speak on a personal level, we say Bhagavan and the world is non-different. The world is non-different from Bhagavan. When we say that, we start, how is that? How can it be? We ask the question, isn't it? Reason is this. Because from Chaitanyam came the matter. Then Jadam came from Chaitanyam. And therefore, Jadam is non-different from Chaitanyam. From Krishna came the world, therefore world is non-different from Krishna. This is the reason. When we have that realization, then the problem is finished. That the Jadam has come from Chaitanyam. At the moment, what's happening to us? Chaitanyam is separate, Jadam is separate. We see only the Jadam, we don't see the Chaitanyam. Isn't it? That's our present situation. We can't see the Chaitanyam, we can see the Jadam. We, in our experience also, Jadam exists, Chaitanyam doesn't exist. So that is what this whole problem with the realization. So Krishna is saying here that after creation also, it's only me who exists. That's what the first words, isn't it? Aham paschad aham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmi aham. He says. When he says that in that word, okay, if you give on a personal level, if you speak that verse, Krishna is saying before creation only me existed. And after creation, only me existed. How will you take it? You will take it that, oh, Krishna again becomes lonely then. He will feel lonely afterwards, won't he? Because initially he was alone, he felt bored. That's why he started creation. Now he will, if this creation goes away, will he not get bored again? You can ask that question. Can you not? Anybody can ask that question. That will he not get bored again? So that is why when we explain these things, you should look at the both sides. That from Chaitanyam comes Jadam.
Jadam can go back to Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam always remains. Jadam is temporary. Chaitanyam is eternal. Nityam. Nasado vidyade. That is why Sat can always exist. Asat cannot exist. Jadam cannot exist. That is that first principle. So that is why Krishna is saying there, after this creation also only me will be there. What does that mean? It means this only Chaitanyam will remain. Only Chaitanyam will remain. So what does we find there that? So that Paramatma, that force, or as Krishna calls it as Aham. In that verse it's called Aham, isn't it? That Aham, Aham, that awareness, Bodham, consciousness, that is capable of taking different names and forms. Namarupam is prapancham. Isn't it? Creation means what? Name and form. Different living entities, different names, different forms, as far as living entities are concerned, different species. And then again, in different bodies it can exist, plus different ways the matter can exist. All this is namarupam only. Finally, if you list them down, it's all namarupam. Namam, rupam. This is the two things. What this creation means. Namarupam. Whether it's mountain, whether it's rivers, lakes, or forests, or trees, or plants, or any kind of species, doesn't matter. It all comes to one thing, namarupam. Namarupam it is. So this namarupam, which is in the form of jadam and chaitanyam together. In namarupam, you find chaitanyam also. So from Chaitanyam came everything, all the jadam as well as namarupam, everything comes from there. So that is, so this accepting this namarupam is what is called the creation. Accepting this name and form, namarupam, is what is called creation. So in the Vedantam, they have analyzed it in such depth, you will see that you can't go anything more than that. Asti, Bhadi, Priyam, Namarupam. That's the four things they talk about. That you will see in the 18th chapter, it keeps coming back. Asti, Bhadi, Priyam, Namarupam. And if you take out Namarupam from that, what remains, three other three, is Asti, Bhadi and Priyam. I'll say what they are. Asti, Bhadi and Priyam is the, out of the four things, Asti, Bhadi and Priyam is permanent. That cannot go. Asti means the same thing what we call Satya Chitta Anandam. That's what it is. Satya Chitta Anandam plus Namarupam is creation. If you take creation away, what remains is Satya Chitta Anandam. Asti Bhadi Priyam is the word they use in Vedantam. Asti means Satya, Bhadi means Anandam, sorry, Bhadi means Chitta and Priyam means Anandam. Asti Bhadi Priyam, they call it, or Satya Chitta Anandam, doesn't matter. Satya Chitta Anandam plus Namarupam is the creation. Namarupam, if you take it away, what remains is Krishna Swarupam. Krishna is that. If you take the Namarupam away from that, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. Namarupam is also Krishna Swarupam. Is also Krishna Rupam. But what the difference is, Namarupam creates a Brahma, an illusion in us. That is the problem with this Namarupam. Name and form. It creates an illusion in us. Whereas Asti Bhadi Priyam, Satya Chitta Anandam doesn't create an illusion. Do you understand that difference? Right? I'll explain that. Why it is. See, for example, with the gold, you make various things. Bangles and the chain and earrings and anklets. So many things, isn't it? You can make with the gold. You can make the crown also. And many patterns. You can make all sorts of things. But if you look at it really, it's all made of gold only. Gold only, isn't it? So, so you have made all sorts of things with the gold and you have left them in the shop to sell them. So, what different kinds of chain, gold, made various things are made. And somebody went to buy them in the shop. And he says, oh, I like this one. I don't like this one. He takes someone, one he picks up and says, I like this one, but I don't like the other one. So I like this pattern and I like this kind of bangles. I don't like that bangle. Like this. Choosing, isn't it? Choice, in other words. I want this, I don't want that. This is only an example. don't join this in the absolute level because it won't make any sense. Only to get this point across, it's saying like that. So, I like this, I don't like this, I don't want that. This is due to Namarupam. Because of Namarupam, this has happened. As far as material is concerned, both are gold. Both are gold. But because of Namarupam, what it has done is, it created in your inside some liking and some disliking. Or choice, choosing happened inside you. Because of this Namarupam thing, isn't it? Because what has happened is, because of Namarupam is there inside us, we have made that distinction. I want this, I don't want this, I like this, I don't like this. What's happened now? You are giving importance to Namarupam. You are not giving importance to the Vastu inside. So, but without giving importance to Namarupam, you cannot, can you put something on your neck? If you want to put a chain or any jewelry on your neck, if you ask that question, also no meaning, because there Namarupam is necessary. You need something which is beautiful, which you like to present, show it to others, isn't it? So, once you have given importance to Namarupam, what has happened now? That you forget about the material with which Namarupam is made. Namarupam is made of gold. Everything is made of gold. But because I have given importance to the pattern or to the design of the particular jewelry, I have forgotten about the material with which it was made. More attachment and all my attention is on the name and the form. So because of that, what happens is, in my conscious, in my understanding, the material with which it was made, I lose importance of that. Rather, I get attracted by the Namarupam or the name and the form of the jewelry. Instead, that is one aspect of that. Say, for example, before the marriage, that a man has, a family has gone and done some shopping in some of the best jewelers and purchased a lot of jewelry. And say, you need the jewelry next day for the marriage to hang it around. And all the jewelry you are stocking at home. All sorts of jewelry you are stocking at home after you have done the shopping. You also had your own stock from previous shopping. You have collected, which your daughter said, or the girl said, I don't like it and I want all new jewelry, modern, latest fashion or design, whatever it is. So you got the old one stock and you got also the new ones, both at home. And the old ones all you have locked up in a box and said that leave it there. But the new ones which you have to carry for the next day for your marriage, that you have locked up in the box and keeping it separately from the old ones, from the old ones. Unfortunately, a thief came to the house that night. When he came, he didn't make any discrimination. He said for him, the old one and the new one is equally important. He took everything, put it into his bag, and he left. He didn't say anything. So that, what does he understand from that? He gave importance to the gold. We gave importance to the Namarupam. Is it not? That's what happened. We, name and form, we gave importance. He gave importance to the material with which it was made. Actually, all this jewelry, as you know, it doesn't mean much, isn't it? One connecting from the ear to the nose and from the end. All sorts of things they create with this, isn't it? Vinoba Bhave used to talk about this in a very, very nice way. You know Vinoba Bhave, who was a very famous personality. He has his own commentary on Bhagavad Gita as well. So, when he is talking about Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, he says about, when he gives the example of Rajogunam, that's where he uses this example. He says that looking at others and imitating them, oh, others have got that, I should have the same one in my neck, isn't it? So, that is a symptom of Rajogunam. To follow others. What others have got, I should have that. that feeling happiness in that. That is nothing but, it's not sattvagunam, definitely not. It's definitely rajogunam, that is. So it is a symptom of that. So he says here, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, in his commentary, he says, therefore, when they see the bird is flying in the sky, he says that he wants to make an aeroplane, want to fly like that, like the bird. And then when he goes and looks into the water, he sees the fish is going around in the water, immediately he wants to make the ship. He wants to make the ship. Like this, saying so many things, he will get involved in all these kind of useless things. That is, Rajogunam example is explaining this, how Rajogunam works in us. We think Rajogunam is only action, but action means, action is prompted by something from within, isn't it? The how that Rajogunam will create such thoughts in us. Whereas Sattvagunam will never create a thought like that, to bring, make an aeroplane. You see how this aeroplane industry has grown. It's competition between the other side of the Atlantic and this side of the Atlantic. And seeing this, the China, India also wants to get into it. But they are not able to get anywhere near to this. People have gone too far. Every year they are producing new Farnborough Air Show and there is Paris Air Show. And every year they are bringing new models, more number of seats, new developments in the whole industry. And where is this going to end? Maya's power, that's all you can say about this. That so many people are absorbed in this industry. And it's such a massive industry, and it's the same thing with the ships. It's no way different either. When you look into the cost of these expensive underwater submarines, you're talking about less than £1 billion, especially the nuclear submarines. And countries like China, India, they want to buy one or two. That's all they can afford at the moment. They can afford. So there'll be somebody else to produce it. They are saying few more billion, it's 1.2 billion or something, they are quoting, each one of them. And what will happen? It will go and lie there underneath the water for a very long, all because of the fear. And this person who is buying, a country whichever he is buying, for what? To protect, isn't it? Protect what? What are you going to protect with this 1.2 billion pounds each? So this, you can see that Rajogunam, how it spreads around and how it pulls people into it in such deep levels. That whole country is absorbed in this, and the amount of discussions, businessmen flying all around the world with the drawings and design of these to discuss with this ministry, and then they've got their agents in between to get their commission for this, because commission is not small amount on all these things. Big, big deals. Happens in big places in the middle of the night, all these things are discussed. This is all the modern business is all about, isn't it? What else is modern business? This is what's keeping them going. So this industry of the aeroplanes and the ships, it's a massive industry. Where did that come from? Comes from Rajogunam. Comes from Rajogunam. So Krishna is saying here that after all that, just the symptom of Rajogunam is saying, he says here that then with this, seeing the birds flying and the fish flying in swimming in the water is not sufficient. He said it goes underneath the water, miles underneath, and then he brings some garbage from there, the pearl. To get there itself is so difficult. He is willing to sacrifice his life and energy, you know, underwater diving and all, going into hundreds and hundreds of meters down. They have to go and pick it up from there. And when they go underwater, that, look at the strength of that Rajogunam. After a certain depth, your joints will start aching. If you ask the divers, they'll tell you that they will start aching because there is not the flow of oxygen in the body and all, what they say is not. So they have developed all the technology for that, to supply more oxygen into the body so that you don't feel. And even when they come back from that underwater diving, they can't come straight away into the atmosphere. They have to go into the decompression chambers, huge chambers, which is pressurized, and slowly from one section to another section to another section they have to come out to get this thing, pearl, from underground, from the bottom of the ocean. So they bring it all that, and he says, how Vinoba Bhave says this, he says they bring all the garbage from there and they call it as the pearl, he says. And then they make some jewelry out of it and hangs it on his neck and walks around saying that, This is beauty. He says, let's call it as beauty. And then he says, you make holes in the ears and the nose everywhere and then hang it up everywhere all over the body. And you think that you are beautiful with all this hanging around on your body. So he said then, after hanging them up everywhere, you start imagining you are looking very beautiful within yourself. And so that is how he explains Rajogunam. And in the name of that, then you are ready to fight and kill each other. After doing all these things, that mutually you are willing to fight and kill, and then not only that, the thief comes, he steals because you have locked them up inside, and he breaks into your house and break open the almirahs or cabinets or whatever it is, and he takes out everything, the old ones, the new ones, everything. He doesn't say, this is all old pattern, I want only the new pattern. He doesn't say like that, isn't it? So for the thief, he has only one vision. In the Shastram, they call it as Kanagaiva Drishti. His eye is on the goal. His eye is not on the pattern. This is an important thing. When we are like that thief, there is some hope. It may sound different, but look at the way the thief looks at it, purely from the position that gold is valuable for him. For him, the pattern is not what matters to him. Whereas we only look at the pattern. We look at the pattern. So therefore, Kanagaiva Mahadrishti. Mahadrishti. His eye is always on the gold. Kanaga means gold. So he is not looking at what pattern it is, what name it is. All realized souls are like that. This is a symptom of a realized soul. He will not look into the pattern. He will not look into the name and form. He will look into the substance, the gold. Now, this example, we can't take it straight away into spiritual life, because his seeing is not, he's not looking for gold, first thing. All jnanis are not looking for gold. What they are seeing is the spirit, Atma, Chaitanyam. That is jnani. Jnani means who sees Chaitanyam only, never sees the matter, never sees the name and form, nor the dead matter. That is jnani. That is jnani. So that is why jnanis are also sometimes referred to as thieves, because of this, because of their vision. Their vision is also is Kanagaika Mahadrishti, like the goal, eyes on the goal. And similarly, when they see someone, they are not seeing the name and form, they are seeing that Krishna inside that person, and Daryami inside. That's what they will see. So that is why they are not concerned about Namarupam. They will enjoy every Namarupam. For a jnani or a realized soul, anyone who comes to them, because of their realization, they do not look at your body, look at your name or form, or what you are doing in this world, where you come from. They are not of any importance to them. What matters to them is only Krishna who is inside you, and Daryami inside. That's what they look at it. So, so this example, if you start joining up with the reality, then there will be problems. It's only an example to make it easy to understand. So that is why you will see when Acharya talked about, Acharya was a great Advaita Jnani. That means for him he saw the spirit everywhere. It is on the basis of that spirit that Vedantam came about. Vedantam was developed on the basis of the spirit, Atma, isn't it? And that same person, he is glorifying every deity. When he saw Sri Parvati in the temple, he glorified Sri Parvati. When he saw Krishna, whom he worshipped personally, he worshipped Krishna. And he glorifies Krishna. Their own family deity, Shankaracharya had, was a Krishna deity. And they worshipped, they had their own temple at home, and they worshipped Krishna there. So, in all these forms, and when he wrote different hymns, glorifying different deities, he feels ecstatic in glorifying all the names and forms. And he didn't discriminate from one form to another. Why? Because he knew in the form of Devi, in the form of Shiva, in the form of Vishnu, and in the form of Krishna also, actually who is present in everyone is this Chaitanyam living force. Instead of giving importance to Namarupam, give importance to that Vastu who is inside everyone. This is inside everyone. And it is in that way he glorified the different hymns when he wrote about different forms when he worshipped. There again, not looking into the Namarupam, rather seeing the presence of that Absolute Truth who is present in all these different forms. So, he says there, if you start looking at things in that way, Ragadvesham will go from inside. That is the easiest way to remove the Ragadvesham. That so, that means every form when he is describing, there is Shivananda Lahari about Shiva, Saundari Lahari about Devi, and there is also this famous prayers about Vishnu Bhujangam, about Vishnu, Govinda Ashtagam about Krishna, Shri Krishna Ashtagam about Krishna. And like this he wrote about all different deities in explaining, glorifying them, and with great admiration, love and affection and deep devotion he wrote them verses, and they are still sung by many, many people whoever they worship in that particular form. But while writing all these things, the underlying principle was Vastu is one who is present in all these different forms. And when you look at it that way, what happens? Ragadvesham goes away from inside. Ragadvesham goes from inside. This is why Krishna is saying in the 11th canto also that when you remember that verses in the end of 28th chapter where he says there, Kim badram kim avadram va dvajasya vastuna kiyat. He says, this what is auspicious, inauspicious in the matter. In matter, if you start looking and saying this is good and this is bad, but dvaidasya vastuna kiyan, dvaidam will create this difficulty for you. He mentions that specifically in the Bhagavadam. If you look into that part of the yes. Yeah. That's the verse, chapter begins with Parasabhava Karmani. That verse. Parasabhava Karmani, na prashamsa na garhaye, vishwam egalmagam pashin, prakritya purushe na jam. Parasabhava Karmani, ya prashamsadi nindadi, sa ashubrashade swarthal, asatyam abhinivesada. Taijase nidrayabane, pindasto nashta jedanaha. Mayam prapnodi mrityum va tadvan nanarthadrupuman. Nanarthadrukha means this seeing namarupam. This is nanarthadrukha. So he says here, maya prapnodi mrityum va tadvan nanarthadrupuman. As long as we have this nanarthadrishti. Nanarthadrishti means seeing things different. Instead of seeing that one thing which is in everyone. Instead of seeing Krishna's presence in everyone, we are seeing the name and form, which means Nanartha Drishti. Taijase Nidraya, Kim Badra Kim Abhadram Va. What is Abhadram? What is Abhadram in this? Dvaidasya Vastunakiyan. All it creating is Dvaidam in us. Dvaidam means this duality in us. One is different from the other. Then what happens when we start recognizing that inside? We'll start comparing between the two. As long as there is two, you'll start comparing. Once you start comparing, what will happen? You will have ragam towards one or dvesham towards the other. If this ragadvesham comes because of dvaidam. Dvaidam creates ragadvesham. It has to create ragadvesham. Because we have that. That is why it says here, Kim badram, kim abhadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyal. Then he says, Vajodidam tad amrdam. Manaso dhyatam evava. This whole thing, what has been built up by the mind has created that dvaidam, isn't it? It's come from the mind.
with the birth of the mind, Dvaitam came. And with the result of that, Vachoditam Tad Anurtam. Everything that is spoken and thought about by the mind is Anurtam, is a lie. It is not the truth, Krishna is saying. Manaso Dhyatam Evava. And Chaya Pratyahoya Bhasa Asando Pyarthakarina Evam Dehadeyo Bhavam Echandya Mutido Bhayam. Then finally, Krishna is saying, Almaiva Tadidam Vishwam Srijyade Srijyadi Prabhu Trayade Tradi Vishwalma Hriyade Harati Ishwara. That is the answer. Almaiva Tadidam Vishwam. Actually, only Alma is there. There is nothing else. Only Almaiva Tadidam Vishwam Srijyade Srijyadi Prabhu. That Alma, Prabhu, he is creation. From him creation is coming. Srijyade. He creates Srishti. Srishti comes from him. Trayade Tradi Vishwalma. And as Alma only protects this creation, he maintains and protects them. Kriyade Harat Ishwara. And finally he withdraws himself, everything back into him. That is what this creation we are referring to. We get caught up in this creation and we start getting disturbed over the various things, what is happening in the creation. So important thing is that when this vision comes to a person, that to look at to look at the Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi, to see the gold, not the Namarupam, that is when the problem gets solved. So at that time, this samsara vrsham, material existence, what it will make some sense. Otherwise it won't make any sense, because you start seeing the vriksham, the tree what you are seeing till now as made of modes of material nature, the mind, and all our vasanas, ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, which is this tree at the moment, you will start seeing this as Brahmam. When this Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi comes to him. So, so at the moment, how do we see the creation? We see the creation through ragadvesham. And therefore, when we look at the world, we see, oh, I like this person, I don't like that person. Or I like this computer, I don't like that computer. Everything it is liking, disliking, love and hate begins from there. So that is why this is what is known as dissolving the world in Alma. If this goes away, that means Ragadvesham goes away, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam goes away, then the world is gone from us. World has left us after that. So that is why this question always comes up, especially with the jnanis. They give importance to these things more than the all other things. Somebody asked, what is sannyasam? Sannyasam is not changing into saffron clothes. That is not sannyasam. Sannyasam means is neither na mundanam, not shaving of the head. Some people, they have matted hair. Some people, they shave up everything. And or change to saffron, or change the name to Saraswati, or some other sannyasa names. What they take, isn't it? Giri, sannyas, Saraswati, Bharati, these are all sannyasa names. So changing into all that is not what is sannyasam. Sannyasam, normalam, jnanam. This pure consciousness inside, not seeing, getting dissolved this namirubam, ragadvesham from inside, is sannyasam. That is Krishna sannyasam. What Krishna is talking, he's going to talk about that in the 18th chapter in detail. You will see there. When Krishna says, you may be a householder, but if this realization is inside, not seeing in the world namirubam, no ragadvesham, no kartrutva bhoktutvam, he is a sannyasi, Krishna is saying. Unfortunately, in the modern world, we have completely carried away by dress and carried away by all the rituals. We think that this is all sannyasam. And institutions also on the name is propagated, you see. That is not sannyasam. That is only in the muds they do this. Because for the external world to know that person is different than us, so that you don't offend them. For that reason only all these externalities came. But if the internal that difference has not happened, then your sannyasam is questionable. It is questionable, that sannyasam.
Right? Because it is a very important thing. Because after that, there is no life left. You have thrown away everything in this world. You have taken something which is the highest principle in spiritual life, sannyasa ashram. Very highest ashram. Why do we respect sannyasa ashram? Because sannyasi doesn't have ragadvesham, kartrutva boktrutvam, doesn't see namarupam anywhere. He should be able to deal with the world in that way. He cannot do anything with ragadvesham, kartrutva boktrutvam or namarupam. Now what do you see? Sannyasis are all in the court, fighting the court cases. How do you, what do you say to them? That if this is how far we have fallen from the truth, how far we have gone away from the truth, you can see here. This is the situation. So, I think it's 5 o'clock, we'll stop there. We'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.